You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Biggs.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's a special one. It's number 100. I can't believe we're at 100 episodes. We have hit the triple digit mark.
Oh my gosh. I know. This is such a huge, momentous occasion, Rich.
Well, that's what you get with the Crispy Noodle Podcast, because we are the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, news, and whatever else we feel like talking about, going off the deep end, whatever. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. Because you never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, like our intro music fading before we're used to it.
Hey, you never know. I might throw you a curveball.
That's right.
Put me in a cage with that S.O.B.
Like that. You're going to be in a steel cage match with Ric Flair. How do
I don't
you
know
like
what
that?
What that has to do with curveballs, but okay.
There you go.
You're going to throw a cage at me, like curveball style?
Yes, the entire cage is going to come at you.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that would be a feat of Brock Lesnar or somebody powerful.
That would be a feat of Brock Lesnar. Okay. Only him.
Right. Also, if you can't tell, I'm a huge wrestling fan.
No. What?
Yeah.
Are you sure, Rich?
I'm gonna strangle you half to death.
I really, you know,
I think you're just a Ric Flair fan.
Maybe I'm just a Ric Flair. You know what? I will be sad the day Ric Flair dies. I will be like really, like,
Is he pretty old?
Well, I mean, he's getting up there.
I saw a picture of him. He looks like he's like 70 or 80.
He's not 70. I think he's closer to 60.
60?
If I had to take a shot in the dark.
Maybe it was just a really low quality photo.
Well, that and he's kind of losing his hair. Sorry, Rick. But he's still styling and profiling.
Yeah.
You know? But you know what? Enough Ric Flair.
My God! What the hell's going on tonight?
When we play that clip, that means we gotta get back into form.
That's right. Get back down to business. And the business of the night is this is episode 100, Rich.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Yep. We officially hit triple digits. We've now done this for 2 years.
But I mean, 100 episodes.
Yeah.
It's like an average of an hour and a half to 2 hours per episode. I mean, you're looking at like over 200 hours of broadcasting brilliance.
Yes, obviously. So much brilliance. Like,
wait, you
this.
Don't agree?
Like this.
Tickle. I mean, nobody else.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
It's beautiful. Nobody else could come up with that.
Give me my juice box. I need my juice box. I said, give me it now.
That is brilliant.
Thank you.
That needs to be a ringtone or something.
Well, you've had your own brilliant moments, Rich.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
Yeah, I ask people various musical questions.
These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
Not to mention you are officially Satan's number proclaimer.
I am the Satan's number proclaimer! Yeah! I'm a DJ!
I'm also
a DJ, too.
Of course. So. Yeah.
And
the point is, we have a lot of accomplishments.
Yes. And I also hate Mark Wahlberg. Damn you, Mark Wahlberg! Apparently. I don't know when that happened.
I think a lot of people share your sentiments on that one.
Possibly. But there you go.
You can't put out a movie like The Happening and not expect... And you know, people are going to hate you for that, okay?
Well, there you go. A little taste of what the Crispy Noodle is about in these last 2 years. All the nonsense that we've done and the craziness and...
It's been a blast.
Yeah.
It's been so much fun.
I just want to thank everybody that has supported us. In honor of the 100th episode, we've done a little bit of a refresh with the website. Check out thecrispynoodle.com. We've had a complete for the most part, a complete overhaul of the website.
What do you mean for the most part? The whole thing has been redone, and I got to give you props, Rich. I mean, you were the lead on that. Yeah, I mean, you did a fantastic job.
Whoa, I can make a website. Here's my flashing text.
And you didn't even include flashing text.
I know.
So you kept it very Web 2.0, which I'm happy about.
I didn't want to brag about my flashing text.
Whoa, I can make a website. Here's my flashing text.
Yeah. But, you know, the website's looking good, if I may say.
It is. It is. I say so as well. You did an excellent job. So everybody go check out the awesome website.
Yep. Make sure to check out thecrispynoodle.com. Now, let's get to, for the most part of this show, we're going to keep it, you know, regular as usual. I mean, it is the 100th episode. We'll throw in a couple of nice tidbits here and there. But you know what? We still got news to deliver. But before we get to that, just a little recap portion of what we've been up to in the past week or so. Mike, any news going on?
Well, I got a chance to watch the Oscars this past weekend.
Oh,
which
yep.
I'm sure we'll get into.
Of course.
We'll talk about some of our, I guess, some of the things we like, some of the things we didn't like. It's just such a huge cultural event.
Yeah.
You know, the Academy Awards.
It's getting as big as the Super Bowl.
It is. It is, I think. I mean, it's a huge spectacle, and it's like 7-8 hours long. Oh, my God, it never ends. But it's great to see all the celebrities and, you know, to check out, you know, get glimpses of all the cool movies that you missed the past year, in my case. But no, you know, it makes me want to go watch more movies.
Yeah.
But
the bottom line is that any movie that's nominated for Best Picture is something that you should probably watch.
Definitely. Well, I don't know. You don't like Lord of the Rings, Rich.
Let's move on.
So what have you been up to, Rich? Obviously not enjoying the incredible Lord of the Rings trilogy.
No. sorry.
That has been a constant through 100 episodes. I've never been able to make you budge.
Nope, sorry.
Not once.
I don't know.
Not a finger.
Yeah, not, I can't, you know, not a finger on that one. I can't give it a major award.
Yeah, but what is that? It's a major award.
A major award?
Shucks, I wouldn't know, Dad. It looks like a lamp.
But it's a lamp, you nincompoop. But it's a major award. I won it.
Yeah, no, I can't award that to Lord of the Rings. I don't know.
Oh, well. Maybe in episode 200 I'll get you
maybe.
To say it. But what have you been up to, Rich?
We had a little bit of snow in the Philadelphia area.
Gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk.
They said snow! I gotta get the bread and milk! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh my God!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I hate this little on-off snow. Like, either dump a foot and be done with it, or don't give us anything. This little 2 inches here, 3 inches there, 4 inches there. It's really obnoxious.
Yeah, and the worst part...
it messes it up just enough. You got to go out, clean off your car. You got to be careful on the roads. Everything is delayed. You know, but not enough to, like, close down everything.
No. And the worst part is it seems like the first batch of, like, 2 inches doesn't go away. It, like, melts a little bit and then turns to ice. And then you get dumped another 3 inches on top of it.
Right.
And it's just...
It's like layers of a glacier.
Yeah, you don't know if you're walking on snow or ice... or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll admit it. On Monday, I fell. I fell again. Yeah.
Did you really?
Uh-huh. This time, I got lucky, though. I fell on my ass as opposed to my elbow.
That's what it's there for.
Yeah, right?
You have that natural cushioning, yeah.
Thanks, Mike. You've been noticing my ass now?
No, I'm just saying all human beings in general.
Oh,
all
right.
Jeez.
I was just like, damn, Mike, what the hell? Cutting to the chase, what the hell?
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
Well, you got a
pistol
up your...
I mean, if I fell, there would be major problems. Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. Slip, bang. Oh, my God. Somebody call 911. Shot myself in the stomach through my intestines. Oh, what a mess.
Well, all right. Somehow we went from snow to pistol up the ass. I don't know how that happened.
You have.
Oh, that Matt. Sorry. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I don't know how we're still going at 100 episodes in, but you know what? We're in for the long ride, and you know whatever. We'll do another 100 more, God willing.
Yeah.
But you know what?
let's kick off the show. Let's kick off our news topics the way we usually do. Actually, it feels like it's been a while since last week we had that random trip to Turkmenistan time zone.
Yeah.
With our backwards episode.
Well, we always celebrate Turkmenistan Flag Day. Don't we? I mean, I do.
I know. So we had to do it on the podcast last week.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, last week was our backwards episode, so we were off kilter a little bit.
Yeah, please go check it out. It was amazing.
Yep. So now we're going to get back to form, and we're going to kick things off with the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face. Ha-ha!
Yep. We got the sports news coming at you. And
I mean, if you want to call it sports.
Yeah, at this point. Ugh.
I don't know if what the Sixers are doing, if it's considered basketball anymore, or what are they doing? Are they even trying?
Well, they're not trying to put together a basketball team this year. That is pretty much evident. But this latest trade move by the 76ers could very well classify them as insane.
Okay.
Yeah. For those that don't know, here in the Philadelphia area, the Philadelphia 76ers, right before the trade deadline, traded away their two star players, Michael Carter Williams and KJ McDaniels, all for pretty much a bunch of draft picks and two prospects.
Goodbye.
No. Yeah, that sigh is pretty much indicative of all 76ers fans right now.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they've officially given up.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, like, collecting draft picks for, like, what are they planning to do with them?
They're going to have every pick in the first round.
So they can't mess up. They're just going to pick every single player.
Screw the draft lottery. The Sixers are going to rig it so they have every pick in the first round, obviously.
And they're collecting them like Pokemon. You got to catch them all.
Maximus Draftus.
Maximus Draftus. That's a Latin, not Pokemon, Rich.
Whoops. It's a new one.
Maximus Draftus.
Yes.
What'd you call it? Maximus?
Maximus Draftus. Comes out Maximus.
You slammed up! What are you doing?
That's the Pokemon noise it makes.
Maximus Draftus. Basketball! I don't know. Like, what would the Pokemon sound like for basketball? It's like, you slam dunk! It's super effective! Or in the Sixers case, it's not very effective. I don't remember what the game says.
It doesn't even play.
The point is, if the Sixers were grade school kids, they would have just traded like a Bellsprout for a Charizard. Or the other way around. They would have traded their Charizard for a Bellsprout. I'm sorry. Nobody knows what that means.
I don't know.
You don't know what a Charizard is?
I remember Charizard. What
Bellsprout,
the hell?
I don't know. This is the first one that popped in my head. It's like a flower. It's like this stupid little flower thing. It's got like little twiggy legs, and Charizard obviously is a dragon. I mean, come on.
Well, there you
That's what the Sixers did. They traded a dragon for a flower.
Well, all right. Well,
sorry.
That's Mike's expert analysis right there.
So why don't we break down what they actually did?
All right. So first off, said it right off the bat, the Sixers have gotten rid of Michael Carter Williams and KJ McDaniels, arguably their two best players on the team. So here's what they got in return. The full list is a first round pick from the LA Lakers, but it is protected. If it's a top five pick in 2015, it will be pushed back till 2016 and 2017, unless those.
What does that mean? What is all this nonsense?
Well, because of the lottery, you don't know what order you're picking in yet.
Okay, right.
So if the Lakers,
so if it's
go
not
in,
a first, the top five in 2015.
It gets pushed back till 2016.
So, in other words, if things go horribly awry, they might not even get this what they got until next year.
Yeah, quite possibly till 2018, yeah.
This is a disaster.
Yes.
They traded their best player for the possibility of having a top pick. And if it's not this year, maybe it's next year. Oh, it's not that year either. Maybe it's...
Let's go over it. All right, let's do the full list before...
Christ, why don't they just trade their players for lottery tickets?
But before, all right, let me go over.
Real lottery ticket. Sorry, go ahead.
Let me go over the full list, and then you can react. All right.
Okay. So, it's just very frustrating.
All right. So
First round pick from the LA Lakers, top five protected in 2015, protected numbers 1 to 3 in 16 and 17, completely has to be made by 2018. Then, either Denver or Minnesota's 2015 second round pick, depending on which one's lesser. Then a first round pick from Oklahoma City. Then JaVale McGee, who's, this player from Denver who got signed into a ridiculous contract.
Okay.
And the Sixers offered to grab him for Denver if they would ship along that second round pick that I mentioned earlier.
Right.
And they also got Isaiah Kanaan, a second round pick from Houston.
Okay.
So there you go.
Oh my God.
And that's in addition to all the draft picks they already have from trading in the last two off seasons.
What? I mean, how many draft picks do they have overall now for 2015?
I've lost count.
Is there even a number that could represent it?
they must.
Is it triple digits like the number of our podcast?
I don't think it's triple digits. But it might be closer. Might be closing in on double digits.
Wow.
Is
that just
ridiculous.
In the first round? Or is that first and second? You mentioned like three right there in the first round.
Yeah.
At least. I mean, that's ridiculous.
It is.
So they're accumulating all these picks. Are they eventually going to use them to build a basketball team? Or
no, we're just
are they just hoarding them?
Yeah, we're just going to keep trading them for future first-round picks.
So it's like I'm going to use a lot of video game analogies. It's like collecting all the health potions and never using them because
yes.
You're going to need to use one eventually.
Yes, exactly. That's okay. What's going to happen to the Sixers.
Yeah. It's just sheer madness.
And to even add to the frustration, a report came out, I would say about 48 hours ago, that said the Sixers were looking to trade Joel Embiid, the first round pick that they did from last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody is safe. Let's trade away that chair we just got from Staples.
Like, yeah. It's going to be like a semi-pro. They're going to trade the washing machine, right?
Yeah. Like,
it's just ludicrous.
How can you expect to build a franchise if you're immediately thinking, oh, I wonder what I can get not even one year out of the gate?
Yeah. And that's sad for these players, too, because like all these players going to the Sixers know that they're basically going to be used as like livestock. You know, they're just going to be shipped around from place to place in order for the Sixers to get the best deal.
Yeah.
That sucks. I mean, this guy, I mean, he's
Michael Carter Williams was definitely devastated by this news. I mean, he was tweeting out all day that he had loved Philly. He had loved playing here.
Yeah, well,
here.
He'd been here a while, hadn't he?
Yeah, he won Rookie of the Year with the Sixers.
Yeah. So it just really, it's a shame, you know, especially for this other guy that they're talking about, Joel Embiid. You know, they're talking about trading him. He was only drafted last year.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was third overall. Why don't you want to keep your third overall pick? It's insane.
At some point, you have to run with the picks that you made. You can't just keep willy-nilly trading.
Well, I don't know, Rich. Maybe yeah. They can.
Apparently Hinkie is trying to prove us wrong here.
I really want to know what the game plan is. You know, most people have like a 5-year plan. What is this, like a 20-year plan?
Yeah.
Eventually?
We're going to be great in 2025.
Yeah. It's going to be so good.
Yeah.
Just you wait.
Here's a couple of comments and feedback on these trades that have happened. Yahoo Sports.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Yahoo Sports did a report card for all the teams after the trade deadline, you know, what they did, what they didn't do, etc.
Right, of course.
When it came to the 76ers, they actually wrote, "The Sixers are nuts. I don't know how you expect me to grade them," and refused to give the Sixers a grade. I've never heard that.
So there's no grade for them.
Yeah, there's no analysis other than the Sixers are nuts.
Wow.
That's it.
I mean, we just provided more analysis, and I'm talking about Pokemon and health potions.
Yeah. So,
it sums it up perfectly. They are nuts. I mean, what else can you say about it?
I mean, you might not follow basketball, but I think that definitely says so much. That not even professional NBA writers have... They don't have any idea what to say about what the Sixers are doing.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be one of two extremes. Either the Sixers are actually going to
benefit from this crazy scheme.
No.
And we're going to have the dynasty of the NBA in 2025. Which,
I highly doubt that.
Yeah, which, spoiler alert, that doesn't happen in Philadelphia.
No.
Or it's going to blow up in everybody's faces and the Sixers are going to be done for the next 25 years.
You hear that ticking? That's the second option coming along pretty fast.
Yeah.
It's going to blow up, I'm telling you. There's no way this is going to have a positive outcome.
I'm also going to bring up Slate.
Okay.
The magazine Slate commented on the 76ers, quote, "Sometime during the last 18 months, the Philadelphia 76ers ceased being a basketball team and decided to become an avant-garde, vaguely basketball-ish idea." Which, that also sums it up very well.
Yeah, I mean, like I said at the beginning of the segment, you know, you can't even call it basketball anymore. What are they doing? They're playing a different game.
They're playing how many NBA draft picks can we hoard up?
Yeah, exactly. It's like a trading card game. They're just collecting as many draft picks as possible just to have a good time. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
No, not this many draft picks. I mean, I know the goal of the 76ers was to tank so that you get, you know, the top picks for, you know, the next three seasons or so.
Yeah, but this works in a system like the NFL. But with the NBA draft, it's like it's that stupid lottery system. So there's no guarantee that if they tank, they could go 0-82 and they could still not get the top pick.
Right. I mean, and even with the trading regulations, there are protections in the trades that they made. Like I read for the Lakers, if it's a top five, they don't get it. They got to wait till the next year.
Yeah. So you know what? Knowing Philadelphia team's luck, they're not going to get to make that pick until 2018. I guarantee you.
We're going to have to wait that long.
Guarantee
for that
you. Yeah.
Pick.
You're telling me it's going to be in the top five? I don't think so. What are the odds? It's a very
well. It depends on how bad the Lakers finish.
How bad are the Lakers right now?
They're pretty bad this year.
Yeah, but even still, it's a lottery.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's not even like there's a correlation. That's why it doesn't make any sense to me. It's such a slim, narrow target that they're trying to aim for. It has to be in the top five. It's not going to happen.
Well, we'll find out.
I don't even like basketball, and I hate this. I mean, imagine what a basketball fan would feel like. I'm just annoyed at the ineptitude, really. That's what ticks me off.
Yep.
But anyway.
Well, the only thing I have to say is that if you're a basketball fan in Philadelphia, let's go Villanova!
Yeah!
March Madness will be coming around the corner.
That's right.
Villanova's looking pretty good.
Yeah, well, they always show up a little bit.
They only have two losses this year.
Wow.
So far. Yeah.
So there you go. Go Nova.
They're not gonna be in the one seeds.
Right.
But I hope they get a really good,
maybe like a two or three.
Yeah, I hope they get a really good bracket and they'll finish a two or three and
that'd be good.
And make a run. Because right now basketball is dead in Philadelphia.
It really is.
Yeah.
But then again, you can't really call it basketball.
No, it's stock trading picks of the basketball world.
So far our analogies include Pokemon, avant-garde art, and stock trading.
Yes.
Everything but basketball.
Yeah.
Sums it up perfectly.
What's a basketball?
Oh.
All right. Well, I know all of that basketball talk took a lot out of you, Mike.
It did.
I know. It wasn't much. It wasn't much, but I know that takes a lot out of you. Football is your game.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that there's no football news to cover.
It's all right. I channeled that anger towards the Sixers. Could you tell?
Yeah. So, well, you know what? Well, you take a rest. Recover.
Okay.
Recover from that. And we will come back. And we'll have the entertainment entree. And you know what? I feel like calling people up.
Okay.
It's our 100th episode. We need to check in on some friends of ours here at the Crispy Noodle. So don't go anywhere. Much more show to come. This is our 100th episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Oh my God, like, did you hear this?
Four men, including a would-be groom, have been arrested for a marriage proposal stunt in which hundreds of motorcycles blocked a Southern California freeway.
Why do people think that's a good idea? To shut down an entire highway.
We're going to block traffic.
No, we're not going to get in trouble. Don't worry. Where the heck did they find 250 motorcycle? Where did they find?
All bikers know each other.
All bikers know each other?
Yeah, the way
it's just
it is.
A thing. Yeah. Oh, yes. I'm a biker, and you are a biker. I know you.
Is that what they do when they
hello! When they see each other? Hello. I see you have a motorcycle. I have one as well. We are kinsmen.
Very formal these bikers are, apparently.
You didn't know that?
No.
They don't ride with black ties and
dost right? thou have a helmet that thou can borrow?
You know, we're talking in like medieval terms. They should do like jousting on opposite sides of the highway.
Motorcycles, yeah.
That would be dangerous.
Guys are gonna outlaw the guns, and then everyone will have to fight with lances.
Yes. Excuse me, sir, do you have a license to carry that lance?
Coming soon to Sons of Anarchy, Season 6.
Justin.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's our 100th episode. Oh man, I'm feeling the good times right now.
Yeah man, we've been having a blast so far and we're going to keep the good times rolling.
Yep. Unfortunately, I just realized something. There's one person that hasn't been feeling the good times.
Uh-oh. Who's that?
Yep. It's appropriate coming out of the sports sampler. This just came in on my news feed that Derrick Rose, the star basketball player for the Chicago Bulls,
right,
suffered his third straight knee injury.
Oh, no.
Every year we've done the Crispy Noodle Podcast, poor Derrick Rose has gotten hurt.
That really sucks, though.
Yep. And they're not like, you know, sprains or something. No. The first injury he had was an ACL tear.
Oh, that's a nasty one.
Last year was a meniscus tear, and apparently, according to this injury report that just came across my desk, he re-tore that meniscus again.
Is this all in the same leg? Is this all the same knee or like different knees?
The meniscus tear is the right, and the ACL was the left, apparently. Yeah, he can't catch a break.
Still, it's becoming a problem, man.
Yep. So I just realized
what
that.
What a way to bring things down, Rich.
No,
jeez.
No, it was just something odd I realized. Every year, like, every time we're about to start, like, a new year, a new cycle here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, Derrick Rose gets hurt.
Wow.
He can't catch a break, man.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing that correlation doesn't prove causation, because I would hate to be the cause of that.
Yeah, every time
every year, yeah. He's sitting there, damn the Crispy Noodle, every year. Every year, it's their fault. Sorry, Derrick Rose.
Well, Derrick Rose, now that you got free time, you want to come on the podcast? Let us know.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's for sports.
Yeah.
We'll leave that to the sports sampler. In the meantime, we got to get to our next segment. A lot of news to talk about in this one. Folks, it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Have you got that one that goes...
Oh, well, it's funny that David Brent should mention, have you got a certain song?
Okay. All right.
I have an update from last week.
Oh, all right.
Just in time to kick off the entertainment entree, because this is entertaining.
Okay. An update. Last week was our backwards episode.
Yep. But before we jumped into the pits of hell, time, space, barrier, whatever the hell that was.
Yeah.
I had showed you guys the Thundersnow clip.
Oh, that's right.
From the Weatherman.
Yeah.
The Weatherman that went crazy over the Thundersnow. Well, of course, our good friends over at Songify the News decided to auto-tune it and put it into a song.
Perfect.
You ready to hear it, Mike?
Yes.
Thundersnow. Lightning strikes. Holy smoke. Totally lit up the sky. You can have your $500 million jackpot. It's Powerball, but I'll take this Thundersnow. Lightning strikes, holy smoke, totally lit up the sky. Dude, I'm telling you, this is Chicago all over again. Yes, listen to that. Thundersnow. 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 Listen to that. We got it. Oh, again, that's a twofer. That's a twofer, baby. Yes. Yes, again! That's a three! Oh my goodness! You gotta be kidding me! Was that another one? Oh my god! Four! Five strikes. Dude, that's number six! You gotta be kidding me! Six episodes of Thunderstorm. Lightning strikes. Holy smoke! Totally lit up the sky. You can have your $500 million jackpot. It's Powerball, but I'll take this Thunderstorm. Lightning strikes. Holy smoke, totally lit up the sky. Dude, I'm telling you, this is Chicago all over here. Yes, listen to that. Thunderstorm, 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 thunderstorm.
Yeah, so there you go, the Thundersnow song.
That was really nice. It was catchy. Yeah.
Holy smokes! I love that part. So there you go. I had to start off the entertainment entree with that wonderful musical composition from our friends at Songify the News.
They always do such a good job.
Yep. All right. Now we can get into the entertainment news.
All right.
And we'll start off with Mike's bit. We call it This Week in Entertainment. All right, Mike, what do we got?
Well, this week in entertainment, in the world of TV, we have The Amazing Race coming back Wednesdays on CBS. I always thought the show was pretty cool. You get to see the whole world with these contestants traveling all across the globe to all these outlandish, exotic places, and they always do challenges or tasks that involve the cultures or the cities that they're in. You know, it's relevant, which is nice. So you get to see the world through the TV show, which is pretty cool, and get to see all the different cultures. And of course, you get some good old-fashioned reality TV drama. Yeah, exactly. But if you're more, interested in the scripted stuff, one of the best shows in modern times is coming back to Netflix. House of Cards,
yes!
Season 3. No spoilers, please, because I've only finished half of Season 1.
Frank becomes dictator of the world.
That's a given, obviously.
There you go.
Frank Underwood, dictator of the universe, right?
Yep. That's the next step. What's going to happen.
Obviously. So if you, you got to check this show out. It's been getting critical acclaim. It just won, didn't it win a...
It won Golden Globes.
Globes. Did it win an Emmy or no?
Probably.
Probably.
I'm going to say probably.
I feel like
that's
it probably
my expert
did.
Analysis.
Probably.
Expert.
Well, there you go. Go check out House of Cards on Netflix. The entire third season is releasing Friday, so go binge watch the entire season if you want to. In the world of video games, we got two indie games coming out on PS4. Limbo, which is a re-release of one of the indie darlings from last generation. It's a minimalist sort of black and white 2D platforming art house game. It's very surreal, very avant-garde. It has a
not like the Sixers.
No, it's much better than the Sixers. Almost universally acclaimed as being one of the best indie games of the last generation. So it's coming to the current gen consoles, so make sure to check that out. But there's also a new game coming out, another indie title, Starwall, which...
Starwall, swimming in the ocean, causing a commotion, because they are so awesome.
What was it?
Starwall.
No, it's not narwhals?
No, not... Well, they are narwhals.
Narwhals, swimming in the ocean, causing a commotion, because they are so awesome.
I just love the fact we can use that clip.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah, so you do actually play as a narwhal. And the object of the game is to face off against three of your friends, and you have to jab the tip of your horn into them to score points. So
narwhal, swimming in the ocean, causing a commotion, because they are so awesome.
Woo!
If they do not have that song in the game, I will be very disappointed.
It's gotta be in there. It's some way.
It's gotta be in there. But, I mean, this game looks just so totally ridiculous. It's got like 30 some different arenas that you can play in. It's got a bunch of different game modes. You can put in AI opponents too. So if you only have like one or two friends, you can fill out the last spot with an AI opponent. But, yeah, so the whole object is to kill narwhals with your little unicorn horn or whatever the heck they got going on.
Narwhal horn.
Narwhal horn.
A gnar horn, if you will.
Narwhal, swimming in the ocean, causing a commotion, cause they are so awesome.
I'm so glad. I was so glad when you put that in the rundown.
Yeah, I might have to pick it up just to check it out. And finally, in the world of movies, we have 71 coming out this Friday. It's an action drama. It's gotten solid early reviews. It's currently holding a 79 out of 100 on Metacritic. And it's just a brief synopsis. The movie is about a young British soldier who is accidentally abandoned by his unit following a terrifying riot on the streets of Belfast in 1971. Unable to tell friend from foe, the raw recruit must survive the night alone and find his way to safety through a disorienting, alien, and deadly landscape. So it's shaping up to be an interesting military action drama. So if you're into that sort of thing, you know, American Sniper just getting a lot of press with its recent stint at the Oscars. So this might be on your radar. Go check it out. That's 71 coming out this Friday. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Mike, letting us know what is good to check out in movies, TV, and video games. I gotta admit, I'm looking forward to House of Cards. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
Oh, man. I know. I really gotta binge to catch up so I can...
Binge, Mike! Binge!
Binge, yeah. This is the only... You know, binging on Netflix is like the only good type of binging, you know?
Binge!
Yes. It's the only time I feel good telling somebody to binge on something, you know? Go binge on Netflix. It's okay.
Yeah.
Binge away.
And, you know, do that heroin if you want to.
Oh, I mean, Netflix, I mean, what? Heroin, they go together, whoops, obviously. One implies the other.
Yeah. So, with that aside.
Yeah, how do we come back from telling people to do heroin, Rich? I'll leave that up to you.
Well, a couple people probably did heroin at our next event.
Wow. That's amazing, but it's true.
Probably.
A lot of celebrities are into the drugs, and a lot of celebrities were at the Oscars.
Into the drugs back in my day.
Back in my day.
We only had two drugs. Viagra and alcohol.
Viagra and alcohol.
That's it.
Okay. And what era was this?
1975.
Why did you pick 75?
I don't know. I figured.
You know, somebody born in 1975 is only 40, Rich.
I figured that
and
was...
And they talk like this, because this is how 40-year-olds talk, you whippersnappers.
I was like, when's the first time they probably have, like, discovered Viagra? I didn't know. 70, I don't know.
I guess the 70s, maybe?
So that's what I went with.
75. I feel like Viagra is more like an 80s drug, though.
Well, yeah, you take it with your cocaine, and away you go.
Up, up, and away.
Literally.
Oh, man. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
so
right,
anyway,
well, let's get
back to
news.
The subject at hand. Heroin celebrities, they both came together at the Oscars this past weekend.
That's what I meant the transition into.
Yes, yes.
Yep, folks, let's do it. It's time for our recap of the Oscars.
How can human beings say that a work of art has a winner or a loser? Also, aliens are real.
So there you go.
What was that?
It's our transition into the Oscars.
Okay.
In reality, it is Ross Marquand, who you just saw in The Walking Dead. He's the newest character on The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
He's apparently a very gifted impressionist.
Oh.
And he did this bit for Soul Pancake, how John Malkovich would react to an award ceremony.
How can human beings say that a work of art has a winner or a loser? Also, aliens are real.
So there you go.
It's very believable.
I think that's the perfect transition to begin our Oscars recap.
Sure.
How can human beings say that a work of art has a winner or a loser? Also, aliens are real.
All right, so now let's get into our official Oscars wrap-up review thing. What do we got, Mike?
All right, well, I figure, you know, we can start off by talking about the main man for the 2015 Oscars, Neil Patrick Harris. He hosted, of course. How do you think he did, Rich?
I gotta admit, I thought a lot of his jokes were hit or miss.
Yeah, I mean, I personally thought it wasn't a very good hosting job.
Also, he made a lot of, like, racial jokes.
Yeah, he did make a few, yeah.
I mean, to start off the night, he said, welcome to the Oscars, where we show off the brightest and whitest or something.
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
was like, whoa, really?
Well, that
we're
was
starting that off right
that,
off the
that
bat?
That was probably in response to the fact that, as we talked about, only three African-American actors have been nominated for Best Actor or Actress in the past 15 years, I think.
Yeah, but still.
I might be wrong on that.
I don't know. To start off a racial joke that early, it was literally right off the bat.
It was.
The curtain hadn't even come up fully yet, and he cracked that one. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Not to mention, just, you know, a lot of his jokes, you know, there are those types, and then there are the type that just completely fall flat, like the one with Oprah having a lot of money. Did you catch
that?
That was really
weird.
He's like, oh, these movies gross $600 million and Oprah's $300 million and the rest are the other. And it was just like crickets. And then he had to say, because she's rich.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, ha, ha, ha. You know, that pity applause.
Right.
Then the whole thing with the briefcase.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't pay off. I thought it was a great gimmick. I thought that some of his quote unquote predictions were funny, but just too much hype for so little payoff.
Yeah, he did this bit where he had Oscar predictions that were sealed in a box. And
yeah, by Price, whatever that company is called. The company that seals all the envelopes and keeps them under lock and key. And he had that one actress, I can't remember her name now, watch it the whole night. You
Wasn't
know,
like Octavia?
Octavia Jones, yes, yeah. yes. And it was just this whole big gimmicky thing that he was going to reveal his predictions and show how accurate he was. And of course, the predictions were, like, my favorite one of the whole one was John Travolta's awkward face touching.
Yeah, what is up with John Travolta? My God.
That was so weird.
First off, whatever he's wearing on his head is obviously a hairpiece. It is bad.
It's so bad.
One month ago, a photo came out on Reddit where he was completely bald.
Yes, I saw that photo.
And then you're telling me a month later he has a head of hair? What is this, a Scientology miracle? Woo!
It might be.
Praise Ron Hubbard or whatever
the
hell.
Yeah, ooh, L. Ron Hubbard. Yeah.
Yeah, praise Ron.
The aliens are giving him hair. Yes. I don't know.
The aliens are real!
Yeah! Full circle. Yeah. Full circle.
See?
How can human beings say that a work of art has a winner or a loser? Also, aliens are real.
John Malkovich was right.
I did like Idina Menzel's introduction of John Travolta, though. Glom Gazingo.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my very dear friend, Glom Gazingo.
So, there you go. Glom Gazingo.
Glom Gazingo, yeah. Of course, playing on his, I don't know what he did with
butchering.
Her name. Butchering. Like, he called her Adele Dazeem. Like, I don't understand how you get that out of Idina Menzel. I don't know. But, yeah, he was just really awkward. He was, like, holding her face.
Yeah.
And, like, stroking her cheek. It was just really creepy and awkward.
And it lasted for, like, a good minute.
Yeah, and you could tell that she wanted to pull away, but she's like, oh, I can't because this is live TV, you know, and it's a bit. And it was just really bad.
And apparently, John Travolta also kind of did something similar with
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, on the red carpet. Yeah, you just got to look up pictures. And it just, you know, they say a picture is, like, worth a thousand words. It really is. He comes up behind her and, like, grabs her around the waist.
Yeah.
And, like, kisses her on the cheek. And she just gives him this sideways look, like, what are you doing?
John Travolta, what the hell is the matter with you?
So
get that horrible rug off of your head.
And stop touching people creepily.
Yes.
Jesus.
Thank you. A public service announcement from the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Yeah.
Yes. The more you know. Oh, but so, all right. So to recap, Neil Patrick Harris, not very good. John Travolta, really creepy.
Yep.
What else about the show? Why don't we go over some positives maybe?
All right.
One of the big positives, for me at least, was Lady Gaga's amazing performance.
Yeah, she did a really good job.
They did a 50th anniversary tribute to The Sound of Music, and Lady Gaga comes out and just does this amazing medley of a couple different Sound of Music songs, and it was just, like, it's Lady Gaga like you've never heard her before. I have a short clip, if you just want to hear a little bit of it.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, all right, so let's play the clip.
The hills are alive with the sound of music. With songs they have sung for a thousand years. The hills fill my heart with the sound of music. My heart wants to sing every song it hears.
So, yeah, that's just a short little clip. I mean, it's like a 4-minute medley. And it's just fantastic. I mean, she was brilliant. It was really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
And like, I totally didn't expect it coming from Lady Gaga, which made it doubly awesome, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was very surprising that a lot of people didn't know that she was a classically trained singer.
She is, yeah. She went to an art school. And you know, I read a little bit about her, and she, like, learned piano at 3, and she's composing ballads at, like, 11. So she is a very talented classical musician. I guess, you know, I knew that because I read a little bit about her. But you wouldn't know it given her pop stardom and her crazy outlandish dresses and performances. But she's got real talent.
Like, yeah, she's been trying to kind of change that image a little bit.
She has, yeah.
She's been doing duets with Tony Bennett.
Right. And
kind of doing more classical songs.
Well, every musician eventually, like, evolves and matures, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, like, I don't know, something about art in general, you know? Not to you know, not to wax too poetic, but, you know, you saw it with the Beatles, you know, they evolved from like the pop stuff to like the really like artsy, you know, ballady, high concept stuff.
And then we all live in a yellow submarine.
Well, that too. Yeah.
Where you're so high, all you can think of is living in a submarine.
Well, that's like the full evolution, right? That's, yeah. That's their final form. That's when their power is over 9,000.
Yeah. That's when the Beatles use pot. It's highly effective.
It's highly effective. Beatles use drugs. It's super effective.
It's super cool, man.
If only Pokemon was like in that tone, like, yeah. Whoa, Charizard scorched that dude. But back to Lady Gaga. Yeah, I mean, her performance was amazing. It was really touching how Julie Andrews, of course, the star of The Sound of Music, came out and they embraced. They had a little, you know, chat there on stage, and Julie Andrews said that it really warmed my heart. It really did. It seemed like she was really moved by Lady Gaga's performance. So, I mean, it was just a really cool moment in the Oscars, I think,
yeah.
For me. So that sort of sums up the night and the events. But what about the big question on everybody's mind, Rich?
Yep.
Who are the winners?
It all comes down to the awards. I mean, that's why we watch the show. And I know some people that don't watch the awards, but they want to know who win, you know?
Exactly. So, yeah, you want to keep up to date on this stuff.
Yeah, so they'll tune in like the last like 15 minutes just to hear the big ones, the best actor, yeah. Best actress, best picture awards. All right, so where should we start?
Well, I figure why don't we do the acting awards, and then we'll do best director and best picture. So why don't we start with best supporting actress. Patricia Arquette won for Boyhood.
Yeah.
That was a well-deserved award, I think.
Yeah. And she had a great acceptance speech where she called for fair pay for women in the workplace.
Yeah, it was a little strange, I think, because it just came out of nowhere. But the whole night, a lot of people were giving very moving, yeah. activist-type speeches, you know, and Patricia Arquette was one of those people that called for fair pay, you know, for both men, for women to be equal to men. So that was nice. I think she was deserving of the award too. You know, I saw Boyhood. She played a great role in that movie as, you know, that mother who's at her wit's end, you know, trying to keep everything afloat, trying to get through tough marriage after tough marriage. And she did a really, really good job. A little sad Emma Stone didn't win though. I haven't seen Birdman, but I really like Emma Stone. So I was kind of hoping she would win, but
You got a crush on her?
She's a good-looking girl. Radical.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, she's pretty rad. Yeah. What, you don't like Emma Stone?
No, she is. She's pretty.
What's your problem, Rich? Have you seen her in The Amazing Spider-Man?
Well, of course, we all know you would. You love Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's my one true love. Yeah, Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man's nice. Your one true love. Not
yeah,
Emma
exactly.
Stone.
Yeah. But no, Emma Stone, I want her to eventually win an award. You know, she's sort of like the counterpart to Jennifer Lawrence, you know, because they sort of came up through the ranks around the same time. But anyway, best supporting actor. This one was kind of a surprise to me. This is a movie I haven't heard a lot about. J.K. Simmons for Whiplash.
Yeah, this isn't a surprise if you've seen the movie. He is.
Apparently it's amazing.
He is just the worst music teacher you could ever imagine. I mean, he's just nuts.
I will say this for this category. They always show the little clip from the movie that sort of exemplifies their acting and the role. And, you know, all the supporting actors, their clips were good. They were interesting. But J.K. Simmons' clip was the only one that made me say, I really want to see that movie.
Yeah.
It was like a 10-second clip. And I said, that sold it for me. Watching that clip, I said, wow. Like everybody else, like, okay, I've seen Edward Norton, you know, he's getting all emotional. I've seen people yell. I've seen people get angry. But J.K. Simmons' clip was just amazing.
Yeah,
it was so good.
He's slapping the student because he
was
out of rhythm.
Putting it
lightly.
I mean, he's like really, like, 3, 4, 5 times. It was just so just gripping and exciting. It was a really, really good clip. This is the point I'm trying to make.
Well, guess what? It's also a good movie. Definitely check it out. Whiplash. And he deserves, J.K. Simmons deserves the Oscar for that role. It was great.
Yeah. And, oh, to bring it back to Spider-Man, plays J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, that's right.
So, there you go. Boom. Spider-Man. I'm going to connect everything to Spider-Man now. No, I won't. So, Best Actress went to Julianne Moore for Still Alice as Dr. Alice Howland. Haven't seen the movie. Haven't heard of the movie. So, it was a little shocking for me.
Well, again, this is another one that... when you look at the synopsis of the characters that these nominees play, it doesn't surprise you that Julianne Moore would win this. A woman who's suffering from Alzheimer's.
Yeah, everybody
that
else.
That sounds like a decent cause to get behind.
Yeah, everybody else on the list is sort of like those traditional dramatic roles, but, you know, that one I think required a lot more from the actress.
Yeah.
So
not really a surprise.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I had never heard of the movie, so that's why I was like, you know, what is this? But, you know, once I saw the clip, again, out of all the Best Actress clips, that was the clip that made me stop and say, wow, like, there's something special there. Hmm. So, yeah, deserving of that. And this one, again, Best Actor, Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah.
You had to know Eddie it was coming. Redmayne. You had to know it was coming.
I don't know. Michael Keaton didn't know it was coming.
Are you talking about the video of him putting away his acceptance?
He looks so sad.
Oh, I know. It's so depressing.
So bad. I'm
it's
like, can
so
we,
depressing.
Can we get him like an honorary Oscar or something?
Yeah. Oh, man. There's a short little video floating around online of Michael Keaton tucking his acceptance speech back into his coat pocket as he's standing up. But Eddie Redmayne deserves it. Again, everybody else had a dramatic role, but I mean, he's playing Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
And again, you watch that clip. You know, I'm watching that clip and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, think about what it must have taken to play that. Play somebody with physical handicaps and speech problems, you know, and to play him through his whole life while he's deteriorating. I mean, that must be such an amazing performance to have so much skill to pull that off.
Yeah. Actually, Vegas, out of all of the, quote underdogs,
right?
They had Eddie Redmayne being the most likely to win.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was the favorite to win that one? Do you remember?
For best actor, it was Michael Keaton.
It was Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it makes sense because Birdman did win a lot of awards.
Yeah, but unfortunately, not best actor for Michael Keaton.
Yeah, I will say I was a little sad that Steve Carell didn't win, just because I like Steve Carell because he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, the competition was really tough.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to the Birdman comment, Birdman won a bunch of awards, including Best Director Alejandro G. Iñárritu. Oh my God, did I say that right?
I think you did.
Wow. Pat on the back for Michael. Birdman won, for Best Director. That shocked me.
Yeah,
that really surprised me.
I thought what was going to happen was between Best Picture and Best Director, I thought one of them was going to go to Boyhood and one of them was going to go to Birdman.
Yeah, I cannot believe that Richard Linklater did not win for Boyhood.
Yeah.
He directed it over a 12-year span.
I know.
How do you not... It's just getting everybody together and keeping everything consistent and...
For 12 years, yeah.
Yeah, keeping the continuity straight. You know? How do these characters look? How do they act? 12 years. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. It really, really surprised me. But it wasn't so surprising when we found out that Best Picture also went to Birdman.
Yeah, I mean, you know...
I get your point about splitting it. But apparently they had a thing for Birdman. It took home quite a few awards.
It did.
Took home Best Original Screenplay as well. They really liked it. I mean, those are three big awards right there. Best Screenplay, Best Director, Best Picture. It also took home Best Cinematography. So obviously they really, really liked that movie.
Yep. But I gotta admit, I feel bad for Boyhood. They should should have won one of those two, either Best Picture or Best Director. One of those should have been Boyhood, to at least acknowledge the fact that this guy did this movie for 12 years. That's insane.
Yeah. I know. It is a little, I don't know. It's just, it's very strange that it didn't win anything, not even screenplay. It won that one award for best supporting actress.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was really, really weird. It was nominated for 6 awards and won one. It struck me as very odd.
Yep.
The movies of the night, though, were Birdman, The Grand Budapest Hotel, and Whiplash.
Grand Budapest Hotel, man. That's a good one, too.
Birdman and The Grand Budapest Hotel took home 4 awards each. Whiplash took home 3. So it seems to be those were their favorite movies throughout the evening. What do you think about the awards overall? Fair? You think that it went to deserving movies? Because that's always a hot topic. Did the movies deserve it?
I think Boyhood should have won one of the major ones besides Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah.
And other than that, I mentioned it last week. I'll mention it again. I'm sad that, Interstellar didn't, get nominated for more. That and Nightcrawler, where did that go?
Yeah, that sort of got a little bit of hype leading up to the event, but that sort of disappeared as well.
Just went off the face of the earth.
Yeah, but going back to Interstellar, I mean, I don't know what it is. Does the Academy not like Christopher Nolan, or is it?
I'm starting to believe so.
They traditionally
don't. Something up.
Well, they traditionally don't like sci-fi movies. A sci-fi movie has never won Best Picture ever. I'm not saying Interstellar deserved it. It had problems, but it only won for best visual effects. It was a pretty impressive movie. I'm surprised it didn't win for sound.
All right. Well,
design.
Let's put it this way. Inception didn't get Christopher Nolan a best director nomination.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan came up with the idea of how to shoot that hallway fight scene by having the actual set rotate on a 360-degree angle. What director would think of that?
And you're
telling me Inception doesn't warrant a Best Director nomination for him?
It really was spectacular.
I start to believe that the Academy doesn't have a, doesn't have a liking towards him. I don't know why.
You look at all the times he's been snubbed. I mean, The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Inception. These movies are not, crappy movies. They're amazing movies. And, I don't know. Yeah, I'm going back over. Yeah, Christopher Nolan wasn't even nominated for Best Director for Inception.
No.
Wasn't even nominated. No. I mean, that's just ridiculous. The Coen brothers were nominated for True Grit. It's like, okay, True Grit was a great movie, but...
Yeah, you're repeating a movie.
Yeah. I mean, really. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, what takes more talent, to direct a guy, a gritty cowboy in the West, or to direct an ensemble cast jumping through people's dreams, running up on walls? And, you have to envision a completely different world, think completely outside the box. But the guy that directed the Western movie should get nominated. I don't know. It's just one of those things that ticks me off.
Yep, it does. It does to me as well.
So that was your big disappointment. Yeah, between Boyhood and Interstellar. Yeah. I mean, the two very shocking moments is Boyhood not winning anything and Interstellar being, once again, or Christopher Nolan being snubbed.
All right. Well, there you go. I think that's all. Do you have anything else left to say for the Oscars?
No, other than, I can't wait to go see some of these movies. If you haven't seen it already, Grand Budapest Hotel is amazing. Boyhood was really, really an interesting experience. And obviously Birdman, got to go check that one out.
Oh, Imitation Game was good too.
Yes. Imitation Game did win Best Adapted Screenplay. Surprised it didn't win more because it got quite a bit of hype leading up to the event.
I feel like it was one of those situations where it came out the wrong year.
Yeah.
It was too much like The Theory of Everything,
Yeah. Yeah, and Theory of Everything is usually something the Academy goes for.
Right.
Romantic drama.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, man, they love those movies. Ugh. Yeah, I know.
Not saying The Theory of Everything sucked. No, I'm saying just romantic dramas just sometimes. Yeah. Ooh.
I'm sorry. What was it? Shakespeare in Love won over Saving Private Ryan, I'm sorry. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. But different argument for a different time.
Yeah.
So.
All right. And there you go. Our official Oscars recap there. The award season finally over for movies. But you know what? I feel that it's not over for an old segment that we like to do that we call the side dish. Yep, the side dish is a portion of the show that doesn't necessarily fit into the sports sampler, entertainment entree, or the non-fortune cookie odd news. And the reason why is because we're going to do something right now. Mike has no idea.
I have no idea.
We're going to do it right now. We haven't called people in a while. So let's get on the line. We're going to start calling people. Woo! Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't heard that in a while, too.
I love this. This is great.
It's our official calling theme music, I guess is what you could say. But you know what? It's our 100th episode. We've had a lot of great guests on.
Yes, we have.
And I've set up appointments with two of them.
Okay.
So are you ready to get them on the line?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's call them up.
Yep. Let's get them on the line. I actually have one ready for you right now. Of course, we have to have him on. He every time he's on the show, he's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
Just has us rolling on the floor laughing. So
I think I know who this might be.
Yep. So, folks, please welcome on the show, calling in, Rick Murarkey to the show.
Yeah.
Yo, Rick, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Nothing much. We're live here on the air, celebrating our 100th episode. And of course, we had to have you on it. You were such a fundamental special guest on, what was it, three times you were on the show?
Yeah, maybe. Yes.
Yeah, he was on, I don't know, a couple of times in the past couple of months, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Twice.
Yeah. Twice, yeah.
Well, we had that one show where Jake Matera was supposed to show up, but he got lost in Delaware.
Or something, or, yeah.
Yeah.
Lost in Delaware or whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
That was it. Delaware.
Yeah. But, you know, we're looking back on 100 episodes, and by far, every episode that you've been on has been just an absolute laugh fest. I mean, every show is a landmark show that you've appeared on.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I will go back and re-listen to those episodes because they just make me
thank you.
On the
you guys,
laughing.
It's fun. a lot of fun.
Oh,
you guys make it easy.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, and Mike puts in the work with the outlines and stuff.
Mike does everything, basically. Yes, I
do. No, far from it. From it.
I just do the goofy sound effects. That's all I do.
Tickle.
That's why we get along.
Right. Yep. What are you up to? I mean, I know the winter's been, you know, winter is, you know, there's a lot of cold in the air, you know, so people don't want to go out a whole lot, but.
Oh, freezing.
Yeah, right. It's actually a deterrent, you know, people don't want to go out to the events, but I know you're out there trying to bust your ass, doing your stand-up gigs. Any shows coming up?
Yeah, I actually have a show coming up, Friday, believe it or not. It's a free show.
Whoa.
Yeah, freebie. big spending money. Free show. It's at Westchester University in the Main Hall Auditorium. I have no idea where that is, but if you go to Westchester, come and see it. It's free. So Google it, I guess. I don't know. But it's at 7 o'clock. It's a free show. I actually just started – I didn't start it. A bunch of my comedian friends and I started – it's called the Academic Probation Tour.
Oh.
And we have a Facebook page, so you know it's legit.
We have a Facebook page.
Yeah.
We all have a Facebook page. It's great.
Well, classy like that. Yeah, you just go on Facebook and you type in Academic
People
Probation
it,
Tour, like
it,
the page,
all the things that
has
Facebook
all the information
does.
There. Or you go on Twitter. It's at Probation. It's at Probation Tour. Keep on forgetting to do the at thing. But the show is this Friday. It's a free show. We're also ramped up. We have a lot of shows lined up, including one at I can't believe I'm going to say this. We're playing the truck.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's the balcony of the truck, but you know what? It's still the truck.
No, that still counts,
it's
man.
It's on the inside, so it still counts. That's it. That's in April. That's Sunday, April 12th. Wow. So, yeah, I got a couple other shows. One at Drexel, another one we're doing in Paulsboro with Jake. If he's not in Delaware, he'll show up for that one.
Now, tell me this. You know, it sounds like you've got a lot of college gigs coming up. Do you have to cater your style when you're dealing with a college audience as opposed to a regular audience?
That is my style. I'm a child.
So it works out for you then.
I basically have a theory that every single man ever is 13 years old and then we just get taller.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
It's so true. I mean, the same thing we laughed at, that's what women are so pissed at. Women are pissed off because they can't be like men in that aspect. Women like mature and care about other things. Guys, we could be 40 years old. We see someone fall or we hear the word booby, we're going to giggle. We do.
That's the epitome of comedy right there. It's just watching people fall.
It's hysterical and it's still funny.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're immature is the fact that we all get along as a collective group. I love it.
Very well put.
Thank you.
I'm still laughing at the word boobies.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a scientific fact. You cannot say that word three times without smiling.
Yeah, that's great.
If you ever feel sad or in a bad mood, say the word booby three times. By the third time, you're smiling. Hell, by the second time, you're smiling.
Is this like the guy's version of, what's her face, Dorothy clicking her heels and saying there's no place like home?
It's like dude yoga. It's a mantra that I use.
Boobies, boobies.
Boobies. And look,
did I start levitating?
Yeah.
The second one, you start to crack up on.
And there's nothing sexist about that. It's science.
It is. I read an academic article about it. It's true.
Yes.
Yeah, something I read on the internet.
Yeah.
So it's valid.
It's on a blog.
Yeah. Right.
Cite your source. Oh, a blog somewhere.
Dr. Rick Moriarty.
It's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're ever in a hospital and you hear Dr. Rick Moriarty, run. You're not going to make it.
Well, maybe you might pick up an honorary doctorate at some of these college venues that you're
doing. That'd
be
awesome.
You know? You're rolling the Drexel, they give you one. Why not? So how did this tour start? I mean, who had the genesis behind this?
My buddy Chris, he started it. He's been doing comedy with me for a little while. My buddy Glenn, my buddy Bob, they're all been in it. There's a couple other people. My buddy Alex, there's half a dozen of us. And some shows are up to 10 comedians. So we're all just doing it. We're all just having a good time with it. We all took a class at, most of us took the class at Helium, with Brad, and we just decided to let's do it because it is hard to do comedy, as opposed to, well, it's hard to do music too, but comedy venues, you kind of got to do it yourself because there's shitty promoters and there's goofy promoters that are just going to try and screw you no matter what. So we decided to hell with it. Let's put on our own show.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? If you can find everything that you need to put on a show, why not?
Do my own promotion anyway, so might as well get paid for it. I mean, I don't get paid that much. I do it because I love it, but if you can get paid, I'm getting paid.
Getting paid, dollar bills.
Yeah, and college, the Philly scene is awesome, but the college scene is, listen, and no disrespect to any people coming to the show, but college people are kind of stupid, and they buy anything. I mean, hell, they like the Kardashians. If I can get you to believe in four people that haven't done shit except made a cassette tape and one of you's a defendant OJ and then you just make $10 billion, I could get them to laugh because they could believe in anything.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the phenomenon when they re-released Titanic a couple years ago and the kids were actually,
oh my God,
you know, surprised to learn that it was based, that it was a true story. And they're like, what?
I can't believe they died. I still got a theory that he could have fit on the same piece of wood. She did that because she's a selfish person. There's pictures on the internet about this.
Is this Dr. Moriarty's thesis?
It's true. She's a selfish person.
It is.
There's going to be stories written about her. She said, fuck him. I know I've only known him for 3 days. That was it.
You hit it and you drowned it.
They could have taken turns on the board.
It's true. You think about this. Let's think about this for a minute. I don't care. Think of the two of the best looking women you've ever seen in your life. Just think about it. After knowing them for 3 days and there's a tragic accident, would you let her live and kill yourself? No.
No.
If I'd known you for 3 days, I don't even know your last name yet. Move the fuck up. We can both get on.
Down it and drown it.
I'm cold too.
He's got that picture too, so that's all he really needs.
True.
Yeah, just don't get it wet.
Yeah.
You know, it's paper. You don't want it to
draw a picture. It'll last longer.
Exactly.
That's the greatest picture ever, too. I mean, how many dudes like, listen, I've known this girl for 3 days. You want to draw me naked? Sure. Can you draw? Yeah.
It's a good thing that wasn't me, because that would just be a stick figure with two circles.
Two circles, yeah.
I could draw boobies. Boobies? I could draw boobies. I'm like the Michelangelo of nipples.
There you go. Do you want that to be your new entrance now? The Michelangelo of nipples. Rick Moriarty! Dr. Rick Moriarty!
You're welcome.
That's what he got the doctorate in, is nipples.
Science.
Hey, biology. It's all there. Anatomy.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a science.
Yeah.
Boobies. So we're definitely looking forward to this tour, the academic probation tour. And your first stop will be Westchester University, Friday night, 7 p.m. And after that, I hear you also have another comedy night coming up, too, as well.
Yeah. Comedy night is March 14th, 7:30. Paulsboro, New Jersey. Paulsboro Sportsman Club. That's a show with Jake.
That's the show with Jake?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, all right. So hopefully he doesn't get lost in Delaware on that one.
Yeah. Now, the cool part about that is, again, all the information is on my Facebook page. It's $25, but it's a beef and beer. So $25 on all the draft beer you can drink and all the food you can eat. That's actually cheap.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of drunks. $5 a beer is nothing. If you can go out and drink and eat all night for like 3 hours and see a show for $25, you get off easy.
That's a damn good deal.
That's at least a $50 to $60 night, at least. And that's if you're cheap.
It's true.
Saving your money, science, helping out my fellow man. That's what I do.
Well, there you go. Preaching the word.
Yep.
So you were, I think the second time you were on the show, you had an event at Paulsboro. So I believe it's coming around full circle for you now.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same people. It's great. They're great. It honestly got me loving comedy again, because it's not a college crowd. It is exactly what a sportsman's club should look like. It's a bunch of people that don't like their kids. They really don't like their wives. Honey, I'm going to go to the club and shoot pool. They're not shooting pool. They're sitting away. They don't want to look at you all night. Look at the kids. Play with daddy. Play with daddy. No. Daddy wants a drink in a room with four guys and dollar beers. I can't blame him.
Well, that'll
be exactly what it should be. It's just a bunch of old dudes playing darts, drinking beers, smoking cigars. It's what I'm going to be in like 30 years. Probably. Who am I lying? 20. Okay.
Well, it's definitely going to be you're flipping the script on this one, because you're going to be coming from a college venue to all of a sudden old man Jersey syndrome at Paulsboro.
Old man Jersey syndrome. Last time I played the club, I got heckled. It was awesome. You haven't lived until you got heckled by an 80-year-old guy with a cane. He was amazing. Oh, it was awesome. I turned him into the show. He was great. He thought he was part of the act.
How do you come back against an 80-year-old guy?
I don't know. I show him where his family is, because he probably lost them. I reassure him, no, sir, you're at the right place. Don't worry about it. You're not lost. We'll find an adult. You're good. Nancy's over there. You're fine. I help him with his diaper. He's good.
Well, there you go. Helpful tips and tricks if you get heckled by the elderly.
Okay.
From Dr. Rick Moriarty.
Yeah, we're getting a real lesson here.
Yeah, I know. Sit down. Get your homework ready.
Boobs and Titanic and old people. I mean, this
and
is...
And the best part is they both laugh to poop jokes. Again, full circle. Proves my point. Whether you're 8 or 80, you still laugh at funny stuff if you're a dude. We're just dumb. We're not that smart. We're really not.
No. I mean, no. Look at our show. All we do is movies really. And yeah. Odd news.
Yeah.
We were a simple, simple creature.
Yeah. Any other gigs that you got coming up besides the academic probation tour and the comedy night?
Not as of right now, but the academic probation tour is growing every day. Like, honest to God, there's like a new show every week that is we're already booked for the next 2-3 months.
Wow, that's great to hear.
It's going to be insane, and hopefully. Spread the word. We do bar mitzvahs and everything. I don't care. I'll lure myself out.
How would you handle a bar mitzvah crowd? I mean, they're younger kids, right?
I'd go with a sale. I'd get with a sale price. Be cheaper.
There you go.
Probably gonna get kicked off for that one. Sorry.
running a special.
I don't know. I don't know. I do jokes about the NBA. They like basketball. Isn't that funny that they like basketball? They own the whole league, so fuck them. I don't know. It's amazing. Like little skinny Jewish dudes with no athletic ability love these big, gigantic black guys that are like Adonises. I never understood it.
It's the fro. They both have the same hairdo.
It is. It's the fro. I love it. Thank you for me not saying the worst thing tonight. It's the fro. Jew fro and the afro are together.
Yeah,
right. They're like four brothers.
Partners in crime.
Why they gotta be crime? It's because they're black. That's my
there you
I'm
go.
Actually the good guy.
There you go. Wrapping up the night with a little bit of ethnic stereotyping.
And guess what? We're all laughing. You know why? Because it's all funny.
There you
I
go.
I make stereotypes about Italian guys. I won't, but I could. Because we're good culture.
That's right.
Right, Mike?
That's right. Damn straight.
Yo, buddy.
Yeah. I've always ragged on Mike whenever it comes to the Italian family with sausages and dinner and all that
we're
stuff.
We're so stereotypical.
Oh, yeah. We're so stereotypical. We like to eat and talk to people, and we have family members. Yeah, it's a crime. Yeah.
You know what, Rick? You know what all this laughter means?
What?
This means we got to have you back on the show. Very soon, and got to have you back on the show in person, because when we have you on the third mic, the whole show is a blast to do. I can't believe it's 2 hours that flies by. I really can't.
It's fun. I love it. You guys inspired me to change careers a little bit.
Really?
I just got a little bit of news today. I got accepted in the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, so I'm kind of going to join you right soon. Wow.
So you actually are going back to school then.
Yeah, I really am.
He actually is going to be Dr. Rick Moranti. Yeah. Watch that happen.
No, not Doc. That's crazy. I'm going on the second floor of a hotel in Jersey. If you get a doctorate that way, you don't trust me, no. But, yeah, it's fun. Younger women. No, that's not the reason why I'm doing it, Dad.
Yeah.
Come on, that's partly the reason, isn't it?
Oh, my God. They do it right, too. Like, hey, come to the school. It's going to be great. They have the girl with the ass that you want to chew on, at, like, welcoming people in the front door.
You got to bring them in somehow.
Right? Really? I'm like, I don't know where I signed, but I signed on for, like, 7-year program. I don't know what I did. Yes.
Yes. As long as I get that in the morning for first period, yeah.
I'm going to be here. She an instructor? Because I'm going to fail, probably. Holy hell.
Well, it's good to know that you're advancing your career.
Yeah.
Yep. But no, in all seriousness, it's great to hear you're doing well. Rick, you're going to be on the academic probation tour. Glad to hear that this is kicking off and hitting the ground running. Your first stop will be Westchester University Friday night, 7 p.m. You'll have a couple of other dates after that. And then Rick will also be performing Comedy Night at the Paulsboro Sportsmen's Association Saturday, March 14th. Oh, Mike, we got to go. We got to check out one of these shows. We got to support our man here.
Anytime, dude. Anytime.
Yeah.
Friday's free, just so you know. So.
Yeah, so can you get us VIP tickets to the free one?
Yeah, I get your front row, I guess. Why not?
Cool.
I don't even know where I'm going. It's going to be amazing. I've been to Westchester like so many times. I've never been inside the university. I know where I'm going. And it's just going to be great. I'm going to go there like an hour early. People are going to think I'm a teacher. I'm old.
You're going to come in with your tweed jacket.
Yeah, with elbow patches. Yeah.
Right.
The suede elbow patches.
Grab a briefcase too beforehand.
I should.
You should. Yes.
Get the whole ensemble going.
It's like 18-year-old girls. Can you show me where campus is?
I'm continually lost.
So are you, honey.
Well, there you go. Check out Rick Murarchy. He's on Facebook. He's on Twitter, at RickMurarchy.com. And you got to go see a show. If he's in your area, check him out, Rick Murarchy. Thanks. Thank you for being a part of our show. You know, it's great to have you on whenever we can, but you know what? We got to have you back here in person ASAP, all right?
Let me know when. I'm here.
All right. There you go. Sounds good. Folks, Rick Murarchy, thank you for coming on for our 100th show.
Oh, no problem, man. Thanks, guys.
Oh, man, and he's hilarious.
Oh. He always cracks me up. Yeah. He really does. I mean, the stuff that he says and the stuff that he makes us say, it's just unbelievable.
Yep. But you know what? The fun doesn't end there.
Oh, no. We have tons more fun to go through.
Yeah. Yep. I also have another way back, another guest from way back when.
Okay.
So, yeah, we actually have a second call.
Woo! Oh, wow.
Yeah, double time. Yeah. Why not? Double time on the calling music.
Why not? 100 episodes. We got to go all out, right?
Yep.
So, who do we got this time?
Well, you might remember this guy as the musical performer who brought us our first musical performance.
Oh, that's right.
That wasn't a very good descriptor, but oh well.
That's fine.
Yes. Well, you know what? Let's welcome him back on the show. Folks, it's time to welcome Mike Roy of Roy and the Secret People. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you guys? I want to say congratulations on the 100th episode.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, we're trying to honor as many guests as we can, and you were one of them. You actually brought us our first musical performance. Do you remember that?
I do. That was, what month was that?
What month was that?
It was a while ago, I think.
Yeah.
Probably sometime in October or November, I feel like.
It was like hurricane down south month, I don't know.
It had to be during a month that it snowed a lot, because we had talked about the bread and milk clip.
Yeah, the bread, milk, eggs, all that crazy normal stuff.
There's snow!
Yeah.
I gotta get the bread and milk! I gotta get the bread and milk!
What's going on with you guys?
How are you doing there, Mike?
Me? I'm doing fantastic. A little tired, but hanging in there. I have a bottle of red pop Cabernet Oak. I'm doing pretty well right now, actually.
Yeah, how's your internet there? You're coming in and out a little bit.
I am? Okay. My internet, hopefully you guys can hear me loud and clear.
Yep, I can hear you. Sometimes you just go in and out because, like, we heard red, Cavignon. I'm imagining that you're having, like, a nice steak dinner right now.
No, actually, I made this hot chicken wing without the wing, but just, like, chicken, like butter and hot sauce kind of dinner, which is giving me major indigestion right now with some raw kale. It was pretty like unfabulous, and it's working me over right now. It's pretty fantastic.
Well, I assure you that's not good for a singer of your type then, if you're constantly cramping over with pains from that dinner.
Well, it helps me hit the high notes, and so I...
You can go like, ah!
Oh, yeah, it's like being kicked in the, you know...
Kicked in the gonads, why not?
Sure.
We heard that you, that your band, Roaring the Secret People, is in this pretty competitive band versus band showdown over on Gas House Radio. Do you want to comment about that? How you guys have been doing pretty well in these rounds?
Yeah, we've been doing pretty good. It's been an interesting thing. It always falls on a night that I'm at work, and so I try to follow it. I teach vocal students at the School of Rock in Easton, so we can't really be on our phone while this is happening. And so I kind of follow my friends, you know, email me as this contest is going on. And it's more of a promotion thing for the bands and stuff, just to get awareness of independent bands, local bands, what have you. But we've been successful through 10 rounds of it. And they play 3 songs, band versus band, and vote thumbs up, thumbs down. And it looks like tonight was our 10th win, which is pretty cool. So I was pretty stoked about that when I got home from work. So, you know, I don't know.
Hey, that's good. 10 wins in a row.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about it. I think it goes to 12, and then you get retired. And I don't know if that means a bullet to the head or what.
Oh, quote unquote retired. Just like you're going to Omaha or something.
Yeah, going on a long vacation.
Right, exactly.
So no Hall of Fame enshrinement for you guys after winning all 12? I assume you're going to win all 12, right?
You know what? As far as I'm concerned, after the first win, I was just really happy. So I can't even believe it's lasted this long. So I think after the 12th win, you get retired, and I heard them say something about you get a ring or something. I don't know if it's like a gold ring, I don't know what it's made out of. Maybe aluminum, copper. There's diamonds in it. I'm not sure, but I'm looking forward to hopefully getting some kind of a trophy if that happens. Otherwise, I'm just really happy that they've been playing our music for the last 10 days.
Well, I mean, that's actually the bottom line, is you're going to get a lot of exposure from this competition, and you guys are doing so well in it. You know, why not? Keep up the Roy and the Secret People on Gas House Radio. Go over to that website and vote for them. We want to see Roy and the Secret People win this competition.
And let me tell you something. Gas House Radio is probably one of the coolest, besides you guys, one of the coolest radio stations that I've listened to in a while. And they're very relevant. They're always current, like you guys, like a lot of stuff. And it's just really interesting. So, you know, I appreciate, like, all you guys, like, doing what you do and stuff. It's way more interesting than Sirius Radio, let me tell you, or FM.
Well, I'd like to thank you for promoting us to a radio station. I mean, we are a podcast. We do what we do. But, yeah, maybe we'll look into being a radio station at some point. Crispy Noodle Radio. Crispy Radio. I don't know, something like that.
I listen to podcasts, though. I listen to podcasts every morning making breakfast, and you guys are definitely up there. So between that and some paranormal podcasts I like to listen to, but...
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
It's well, first off, we got to acknowledge that you were definitely a great guest to have on during our 2-year run so far. And thank you for providing us with our first ever musical bit on the show. And you know what? We got to come see you in person, one of these concert venues that you are at. I mean, you tour all over the place. Next time you're in Philadelphia, me and Mikey, we got to go. We got to check you out, Roy and the Secret People. Do you have any idea when you'll be in Philadelphia next?
No, you know what? We were just there, I swear to God, this last Saturday. And you remember what a debacle?
There was snow everywhere. Yeah.
We were at Connie's Rick Rack on Saturday. We drove down the highway. We were getting there. There were accidents all over the place, and everybody thought we were crazy to follow up on this gig. We show up into Philadelphia, and all pretty much the city is, it seemed like it was shut down. The roads weren't cleared. The taxis were, I guess, called off, even though there was some taxis around. But so we show up to Connie's Rick Rack, and it just so happened that night on the bill, all of the bands were from out of town, and all of us showed up, which was just insane. And so it was a pretty good crowd, but it was just crazy because it reminded me of some of the storms in the past when I lived in Philly in the 90s that just shut the city down.
You know what? You need to let us. We need to know the next time you're in Philadelphia, and me and Mikey, we're gonna come. We got to see Roy and the Secret People. We need to see you guys in the flesh. And who knows? Maybe get you on for an interview here on the third mic.
Yeah,
here in person as well.
That would be so cool. That would be fantastic. I'll let you guys know as soon as possible if we come back through the city of brotherly love for sure.
All right, that sounds like a plan. Mike, thank you for coming on and celebrating the 100th episode with us.
I am completely honored, guys. Thank you so much for calling me.
No problem. Hey, it's part of our Crispy Noodle call center right now. That's what we're calling this bit. Mike, thank you. Folks, Mike Roy of Roy and the Secret People, thank you for celebrating the 100th episode with us.
All right, thanks, guys.
Oh, it's so good to get in touch with those guys. They provided us some of the most fun segments ever from a special guest here on the show.
Yeah, I mean, Rick, I think, was Rick our first special guest?
Yeah, I think Rick was.
It was a long time ago.
Right.
And then Mike Roy, of course, first musical guest.
Exactly. So much fun. Always a blast when they're on the show.
Yeah.
But you know what? All that excitement, we're going to need to take a little bit of a break before we get into our last segment. But it is definitely a case of saving the best for last, because it's the non-fortune cookie odd news. I'll have this week's craziest odd news stories ready to go. Coming up, don't go anywhere. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A woman who took donated clothes from a relative found $30,000 inside one of the hand-me-downs.
Wow. I never find that type of stuff in my pockets.
In the bag was cash that had been stuffed into envelopes and wrapped in layers of plastic bags. Carol told PhillyBurbs.com, I unwrapped the bag and there was another bag in another bag in another bag. And that's where she found $30,000.
Wow.
That's like a bag within a bag? Yeah. Within another bag?
You know what that means. Bagception.
Bagception.
I just want to point out, that is incredible security.
Yes.
The more bags you have, the more
bag,
secure it is.
This is at least three layers of bags we're talking about.
I don't know how.
We're going three bags deep into this operation. And then on top of that, if you lose it, then you're in limb bag.
Oh man! So, a bag within a bag,
three bags deep, man. We're serious.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, episode number 100. Oh my gosh, the feels from those two calls that we had.
Yeah,
we got to have them back on the show at some point.
Definitely.
But you know what else is like an old friend that you just enjoy seeing again?
Would it happen to be our next segment, Rich?
That's right. Because when you hear the Gary Busey clip, you know it's time to get ready to sit down, buckle in for some crazy odd news. Let's jump into it. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Future is already here, so why don't we go get a beer?
That's right. Other segments have come and gone and changed and had additions, but the non-fortune cookie odd news has remained with us for all 100 episodes, Rich.
Yep.
It is a staple of the Crispy Noodles identity, I think, at this point.
Well, sports, entertainment, and odd news.
That's right.
You gotta have the odd news.
And for those of you that may be unfamiliar with the non-fortune cookie odd news, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He keeps all his secret odd news stories completely hidden from me. I have no idea what he's got. So all my reactions are my first time hearing these stories. They're my genuine reactions. I have no idea what's about to happen. You guys have no idea what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't even have any idea what's about to happen because these stories sometimes lead us on wild and crazy tangents.
Yep.
So I'm ready to go. What do we got?
All right. Well, you know what? We usually don't start the odd news like this.
Okay.
But our first...
We've started it in quite a few ways, so...
Yeah. But our first story has to do with Canadian politics.
All right.
Welcome.
Sure.
Welcome to the non-fortune cookie odd news.
Parliament and... Yes. What do Canadians do in politics? Is this like about like geese reform?
I don't know, but there is
like
one thing
moose
they do.
Immigration policies?
We do have one thing that they do in Canadian politics.
What do they do?
Well, a Canadian politician has blamed cheap, tight underwear for having a sudden for him having a sudden departure from the Canadian Parliament that caused him to miss a vote on anti-terror legislation.
Tight underwear?
Yep.
That's really what he's going with.
Yep.
Why at that moment? Like, did he make it through the whole day? And at that point, it had just reached a point where it's like, it's just too bunched up down there. I'm going to die if this doesn't resolve itself.
Pat Martin told Parliament Thursday that he had bought a bunch of men's underwear for half price that were clearly too small for him, which made it difficult to sit for any length of time.
That's like such a sneaky way of saying like, hey, ladies, this underwear was just too small for me, if you know what I'm saying.
I'm about to rip through this underwear with my balls.
In so many words, yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I bought double XL and it's not enough to contain all of me.
I've got balls of steel.
Yeah, those extra small.
That would be mighty uncomfortable,
yeah,
though.
They can't contain my balls of steel.
I've got balls of steel.
Yep. I don't know, don't you think that's sort of a sneaky way of saying that? They're just too small for me.
Well, guess what?
What?
Since this happened in Parliament,
okay,
we're going to listen to the actual excuse that Pat Martin made on the floor of the Canadian legislature. Do you want to hear it?
Wait, he had to tell them that he was, like, abstaining because... Like, yes. Did he actually have to explain himself?
Yes.
Wow.
So, here is the clip from Canadian Parliament. I pulled it from Canada just for you.
Well, you know they're Prime Minister.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
So, here we go.
Order. Does the member for Winnipeg Centre want to respond to the point?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I realize I did inadvertently leave my seat briefly in the middle of the debate. I can blame it on a sale that was out down at the Hudson's Bay. They had men's underwear on for half price. I bought a bunch that was clearly too small for me, and I find it difficult to sit for any length of time, Mr. Speaker. So I apologize if it was necessary for me to leave my seat briefly, but I did not mean to forfeit my right to vote.
I love the applause. The applause is the best part. They're like, finally something interesting! Clap, clap, clap.
Something that we don't fall asleep to here in the Parliament.
Yeah, enough about maple syrup importing. Let's get down to real business. Oh, that's amazing though. I love that he just stood up and he's like, yeah, what of it?
Yeah.
This is what happened. Deal with it.
Martin has kind of an odd track record. He has also once questioned the government if they were, quote, prepared for a zombie invasion. So this guy has a track record of weird
here. I thought
stuff.
It was just a normal guy being cool, but no, it's another traditional odd news crackpot.
Yep. But there you go.
Are they ready for a zombie apocalypse?
I guess the jury's still out on that one.
Oh, okay. Because that's going to be a hot button issue for the 2016 presidential election. I think.
Yep. No, not foreign policy.
No, forget immigration reform and education reform.
Zombies.
Yeah.
Can you protect us from them?
I think they deserve the right to vote.
Zombies?
Yeah.
How can they vote?
Because, I mean, think about it. They've been American citizens longer than any of us.
Okay.
I don't know. But anyway, the point is Canada is awesome, eh?
Yeah. All right, ready for our next story?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, here in the north of the country, we've been experiencing some very cold temperatures.
I mean, you say north, but we're in Pennsylvania.
Yes, we are north.
This isn't like Wisconsin.
No,
or Minnesota.
But our next story comes from Indiana.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the cold can really mess things up.
Okay.
An Indiana highway ramp was shut down for hours last Thursday afternoon. When a large accidental dump happened in the middle of the road.
A large accidental dump.
Yep.
Okay.
And I can say that because 2 tons of human excrement spilled out on the I-65 exit ramp.
Who's transporting that stuff?
good save on that
one. Yeah. No, but really, why? Is there a reason why they're transporting it?
Apparently, porta potties.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
They ship them with? They don't, like, clean them out?
What,
like,
they empty them and it goes into a
vat?
Not a, I don't know, one of the industrial
container.
Trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big, one of those, tanker things.
Yeah, right. Tanker.
Wow. That must suck.
Well, this one did. The raw sewage ended up being 6 to 8 inches deep.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. We complain about 4 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Imagine having 6 inches of, you know, another S word.
Yeah.
Stuff.
The crappy job of clearing the road got even worse.
Crappy job.
Yep. Because the actual fecal matter froze in the cold temperatures.
Did they have to chip it away with pickaxes or something?
Nope, they had to bring in salt.
That sucks. You gotta waste salt on crap.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Did it really freeze?
Yep.
That's
residents,
crazy.
Residents even noted that there was, quote, toxic poopsicles hanging from the ramp.
Oh, that's gross. As a kid, I liked to snap off the icicles and play with them.
This one you don't want to.
Yeah. Mommy, why is the icicle brown? Don't touch that, Billy.
Damn it, Billy.
What's wrong with you? Why are you always the butt of these jokes,
Why do
Billy?
You always play with the yellow and the brown snow? Go away.
It tastes so good. Nom, nom, nom. Oh, so poopsicles?
Yep.
Like fudgesicles.
But with poop.
Fudge is also a synonym for poop. Anyway.
And Oprah is rich.
Are you saying my joke was as bad as Neil Patrick Harris's?
That one was.
Ow, rich, damn. All right, so go ahead, continue with your poop story.
But luckily, they were able to clear off all of the poop. So
well, that's
Indiana
good.
Is back on track. Thank God.
Thank God. They really cleaned up their stuff. I wish I could say the other S word.
You could. I just got to bleep it out.
Yeah, I know. That makes more work for you, though. So,
thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. Yeah, you insult my jokes, and I don't curse for you.
All right. Well, you know what? I think it's time to get into our obligatory Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, for those that don't know, we always seem to have Florida stories.
Yeah, boy, we have 100 episodes. I would wager we've had Florida stories in about 89 of them, probably.
Yep. But before I start this week's Florida odd news stories,
okay,
I think it's important to mention kind of an interesting news bulletin that happened here in the Philadelphia area. The actual governor of Florida, Rick Scott, actually was in Philadelphia this past week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And the reason, he is trying to sway local businesses to go and head to Florida.
Why would he do that? We need those businesses.
I know. Why try and steal our businesses? Go steal
somebody
else's.
What the hell, man?
Yeah.
Florida, what a jerk.
Yeah, Florida's trying to attack us now.
Look, didn't we talk about, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago? We gave them Wawa?
Yeah.
And dumpster people?
Right.
And so back off.
And this is how they repay us.
Damn, Florida?
Yeah. Rick Scott was in the area trying to recruit local businesses and manufacturers to relocate to the Sunshine State. And I want to bring this up because the governor, Rick Scott, gave a brief interview to NBC10's Matt DeLucia,
okay,
who I happen to know because he's a LaSalle graduate.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So if you don't mind, I want to play just a little bit of the interview.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So this is NBC's 10, Matt DeLucia, talking to Governor Rick Scott.
In interviews, my job is to get jobs for Florida families.
And to do that, Florida Governor Rick Scott tells me he needs to get companies to move to the Sunshine State. He believes better tax rates and employment are some of the key ways to woo Pennsylvania companies out of here. And he blames Governor Tom Wolf.
What your new governor is doing is not going to be good for your businesses. When it's not good for your businesses, that's when people lose their job.
Governor Wolf's office fired back, calling this nothing more than a political stunt. Governor Scott did not make a visit when Republican Governor Corbett was in office, but on a cold winter's day, several local companies and site selectors are lined up to listen.
What do you say to the people who may end up losing their jobs with their companies if they decide to pack up and go to Florida?
You know, my experience is everybody wants to move to Florida. I mean, it's just, you know, they like the weather. They like our beaches. They like our amusement parks. They like to, you know, be able to get out. We've got a great education system.
Florida's governor is here today and tomorrow. And one of the companies he's meeting with is Wawa, which already has several dozen stores there. So some of this is about expansion, but they're also trying to get some companies to leave and never look back.
I swear to God, if they take my Wawa, I will murder every single Floridian. You know what? He's such a douche.
Yeah, out of all the areas,
really,
why is he coming to Philadelphia?
No, but he comes up here. It is so clearly a political stunt. I mean, come on. Really? It is obviously a political stunt.
Matt DeLucia also said that, also told me that, quote, I thought it was very out of the ordinary to see a governor so happy about the potential of taking away Philly's companies and jobs. And as you can tell in the video, he does seem relatively happy.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
He's like, oh man, they're going to love Florida. Like, no. All they have to do is listen to the Crispy Noodle podcast and find out how awful Florida is. There you go.
Yep.
Comment on the story and plug the podcast. All in one sentence.
Good one. Good job, Mike.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
And apparently he also offered Matt to go down to Florida, and Matt told him no. So good job, Matt.
Yeah.
Sticking by the hometown crowd.
That's right.
And if you're interested in more on the issue, NBC 10 will have a special Florida show at 11:30 a.m. Or excuse me, the show is called Issue, not Florida.
Wow, that's
really taking over.
I was going to say, like, we have just a brief segment about Florida, but they're going to do a whole show.
Whoa.
Whoa.
No, sorry. The show is called Issue, and they're doing a special Florida show Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. So if you're interested in more on this random takeover by Florida.
Florida, back off.
Yeah, back off, man.
All right, listen, you may be good for a couple of chuckles and Walt Disney World, but stay the hell away.
Yeah.
We got this.
Right.
Chill out.
So you know what?
Step off.
Let's embarrass them. Let's get to some good old-fashioned Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy. Yeah, let's get them back. What do you got in the Florida segment?
All right, here's our first one. A two-time Bulgarian Maxim model was pulled over for driving the wrong way in Lando Lakes, Florida, and had an unusual excuse. According to her arrest affidavit, 29-year-old Ralitza Nikolava Ivanova was pulled over by a deputy early Wednesday morning after she was seen driving erratically. She was going the wrong way and weaving in and out of lanes on Route 41.
Oh, boy.
The deputy,
it's gotta be the drugs. Or the alcohol.
Well, this one's the alcohol.
Okay.
The deputy who pulled her over reported a strong smell of alcohol coming from Ivanova's car and on her breath. She told the deputy that she was driving home to St. Petersburg from Tampa. For those that don't know, I understand you may not be good with Florida geography. St. Petersburg and Tampa is going west to east about 5 to 10 miles. Land O'Lakes, where she was pulled over, is at least 20 miles north of both cities.
So she got a little lost. She got a little turned around. You can't blame her for that.
A little. you're creating a triangle between the places that you need to get to.
Yeah, I mean, that's to drive 20 miles in the wrong direction. That's pretty off course.
Yeah. You're not a little lost at that point.
Yeah.
Ivanova, who also goes by the nickname Rail.
Why?
Interesting.
Such a strange nickname.
Yep.
Okay.
She,
rail, like, like, rail as in railroad?
Yeah, rail.
Rail? Why don't they call her Bannister? Or, I don't know, why Rail? What's her name? Does it play on her name?
Her first name is Ralitza.
Oh, maybe that's why.
It's still weird, Rail.
It is weird.
Well, she was named as Bulgaria's representative in Esquire's Sexiest Women Alive Atlas. Her explanation for driving erratically, she wasn't drinking, she was texting and driving. Oh, so that makes it so much better.
That's much better, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, officer, I wasn't drunk. I just had my eyes completely off the road and focused on my phone.
Yeah.
The officer's like, oh, okay, well, in that case, you can continue.
The cop confiscated her phone. The deputy observed texts from another person advising her to stop the car and not perform a field sobriety test.
So wait, she was texting and drunk?
Yes.
Was she even aware she was operating a vehicle?
Probably not. She was weaving in and out of lanes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so you see, that guy wants us to move, the businesses to move to Florida. But they won't get there because on the way, this idiot's going to crash into them.
Yeah. Well, the deputy arrested Ivanova for driving under the influence. So there you go.
I think that's great that he saw a text saying not to do a field sobriety test.
Yeah.
Like she's actively conspiring with somebody else. That's great.
How do I get out of this?
Yeah.
All right, well, I got a second Florida story for you.
Okay.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, and this one is just plain old crazy, because why not? A nude Florida woman who cops say was, quote, heavy on drugs, allegedly stopped traffic to touch herself in front of cars.
Don't make me issue my ultimate form!
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you see, that's actually a positive for Rick Scott's argument. Get a free show.
Well,
what a way to bring in customers.
Well, unfortunately, 31-year-old Amy Carter then allegedly got mad and climbed onto the hood of a car and stomped on the car and threw her cell phone at the vehicle behind it.
Don't make me issue my ultimate form!
What did she think she was going to do? Beat up the car?
I guess.
She's going to fight it. She was going to wrestle it down to the ground. She threw her phone.
Yeah.
All that does is ruin your phone. She's got bigger problems on her hands, though.
Yeah. Police found her at the intersection of Fairview Shores on the outskirts of Orlando, walking through the intersection with no clothes on. She was under the influence of an unknown substance and in an altered mental state, according to a police report. She then put up a fight and kicked her legs in the air when she was arrested, but she was eventually hauled off to a hospital and charged with criminal mischief and exposing her sexual organs.
Isn't there, like...
That's the actual charge.
But isn't it usually, like, public lewdness or...
Usually.
Or something else displaying... What was it? Displaying sexual organs?
Exposing her sexual organs.
That's so awkward. It's like cringy. I don't know.
Tell my fish in my ultimate form!
It's like saying fecal matter instead of poop. It's just awkward, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, she was transferred to the Orange County Jail. She caused $1,500 in damage to the Lexus she stopped on.
Oh, my God. So Lexus doesn't make a very strong vehicle then. If a naked lady can cause $1,500 worth of damage.
Tell my fish in my ultimate form!
I mean, does insurance cover that? Naked lady insurance?
Yeah. What? How do you file that?
Yeah. Well, you see, there was a naked lady stomping on my car. Sorry, sir. We don't seem to cover that. Are you sure?
Florida insurance does.
Florida insurance. Yeah, that covers a lot of things. Oh, wow. That's just, I feel bad for that person and their Lexus. They're just chilling there waiting for her to finish. She gets angry. Why did she get angry?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
She got angry because it was erotic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Passion.
Passion, yeah. There was, that's what it was.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Yep.
Oh.
All right, and I have one more Florida story for you.
Okay.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
That's three.
Yeah, plus that guy's crazy-ass politics.
Yeah.
Wanting to steal our businesses.
Yeah.
So we got a business stealer, a drunk Bulgarian, a naked woman touching herself. Was it Bulgarian?
Yeah, that was the first one.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I got the country right.
Yep.
So, what is this fourth in this quadrifecta? Yeah.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Let's hit a grand slam.
All right, well, this one is definitely crazy. A judge has officially ordered a psychiatric examination for a Florida man who allegedly tried to pay a bar tab with a rock.
It was a really nice rock. It's like one of those real smooth ones you find in the creek beds, you know? I want to know more about the rock.
He's okay. Better than nothing.
That was probably his attitude. I'm at least giving you a rock. Come on.
What type of rock? Was it like a big rock? Like, I want to know more, like I want to know if he carried in like a small boulder or if this was just like a little tiny, like, thumb-sized rock.
Well, cops in Tallahassee, Florida say that last Wednesday, 24-year-old Jared Simpson visited the Fourth Quarter Bar and Grill and rung up a $12 tab.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. He paid with a rock.
Well,
did he go to the bar with the rock?
Well, when it came
Why did he have the rock on him?
Well,
did he go find it?
When it came time to pay up, Simpson allegedly tried to get the bartender to accept a rock as payment. When the woman decided that a stone wasn't legal tender, Simpson responded by throwing a ripped-up dollar bill at her and saying that, quote, I can pay you in other ways.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Boy, is that a pickup line.
That's amazing. Oh, yeah. So, was he successful?
No.
Oh, damn.
When this failed, another witness said that Simpson was telling people that, quote, I got shot up in the war. But yet, he did not reveal the military branch of service that he served in because, quote, if I tell you, I have to kill you.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, of course. That old excuse.
Yeah, really.
Simpson then left the bar and came back a short time later with a credit card that didn't work.
Wait, he was able to leave after all these shenanigans?
I guess for a little bit.
Okay. So the credit card didn't work. Did he try the rock again?
Nope. Then things escalated.
Oh, as if they weren't bad enough?
Yep.
Okay.
Simpson went out of the bar, then came back again, but this time in a gray suit and carrying a briefcase.
Does he just come prepared with all this stuff? What is this? Is this Carrot Top or something? He's just got a big thing filled with props?
He then said that, quote, anyone that goes near the briefcase will die.
Okay, so now he's making terroristic threats.
Yeah. Simpson then ran out of the bar and across the street.
That doesn't look suspicious at all.
The bar was evacuated and police were called to the scene.
Well, yeah, because he just tossed a briefcase in and said, don't go near it or you'll die, and runs off in the other direction.
Simpson was apprehended across the street. He didn't run.
Did he just stop and wait?
He just stopped and waited.
Oh, my God, I got to get out of here. Oh, I'm across the street. They'll never be able to find me.
Not in this suit.
What does he think it is, like the Grand Canyon? Those two lanes of traffic. It's a perfect deterrent.
Well, when police arrested him across the street, they asked him what was in the briefcase. That was when he told That's when he told police that, quote, I don't know. Maybe there's a baby. Maybe there's a bomb.
Maybe there's a baby. That's not better than having a bomb. In fact, in some ways, it might be worse. Oh, my God.
I don't think a briefcase can hold a baby.
Well.
Unless you chop. unless it's a dead baby joke.
I was going to say, you could, like, sit on it like you do suitcases. You're trying to pack a lot in there. Oh.
Well, according to police.
Was it a baby or a bomb?
According to police.
A baby bomb.
Baby bomb. Bomb Junior.
Bomb Junior.
According to police, that's when the suspect was put into a cop car, and that's when he started singing, quote, I'm a rainbow man. I'm a rainbow man. I am my own master. I answer to myself.
Are there more lyrics to this song?
That's it.
So wait, he just started singing.
I am a rainbow man. Whatever the hell that means.
Well, obviously it means he's a man made out of the spectrum of visible light. I mean,
I'm Roy G. Biv. How you doing?
I am a prism that is reflecting ultraviolet light or whatever it is. I don't know, science? What is a rainbow?
First he says, I'm a rainbow man. I'm my own master. I answer to myself.
Okay.
So that's his song.
It's almost as good as Led Zeppelin. In terms of lyrical quality.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Ooh. Or the Beatles. One of those. I think he's nestled
between. I am the Eggman. I am the rainbow. Cuckoo, ka-choo. Bomber baby. Cuckoo, ka-choo.
It's a Beatles song. Oh, yeah. My God. He's the long lost fifth Beatle.
Yes.
And he's only 24 years old. So just to recap his escapades. He gets drunk on a $12 bar tab, which I don't understand. One. Tries to pay for it with a rock. Then, I don't know what he tries to do with the bartender. Offers to pay her with sex, I guess. Then he brings back a briefcase, implying that it's a bomb, runs away, but waits for the police across the street, at which point they arrest him, tells them it could be a baby, and then he breaks out in the song.
Singing that he's a rainbow man.
Yeah, specifically, yes, a rainbow man.
Yep.
That sounds like a pretty successful evening.
That's a Florida evening.
That's a Florida evening, yeah.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
It's basically like a Tuesday night there.
Wednesday night.
Oh, Wednesday night. Wait, this was a Wednesday?
Yeah.
This wasn't even a weekend?
No, this was
Wednesday. Oh, my God. What do they do on the weekend there?
A bomb squad investigator was able to determine that the briefcase did not contain a bomb or a baby.
What did it have in it? I'm dying to know. What was inside the briefcase? Please let it be something interesting.
No, there was nothing in the briefcase. He just used it as a prop.
It's just an empty briefcase?
Yep.
Oh, what a letdown.
I know.
Oh, man. God, that's so depressing. I really wanted there to be something in the briefcase. Just make something up.
Six baseballs.
Six baseballs. Okay, I'll take it.
Spring training starts soon.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's what's going on.
All right, I like it. Six baseballs.
Exactly six.
Exactly six, yeah.
Simpson was arrested on charges of bomb threats, a weapon of mass destruction hoax, petite theft, and disorderly conduct.
A weapon of mass destruction hoax?
Hoax, yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Did they really think it was a nuclear device?
I guess so.
Really? Wow.
I thought he's the Rainbow Man. We don't know.
Yeah, no, he only answers to himself, so. Yeah.
We don't know.
He's like, what is he? Like the Superman of bomb building?
Yes, we don't know.
I don't know. It always, in my mind, I always envision nukes as like really big. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think? Are nukes big or do you think they could fit in a briefcase?
Yeah, well, I mean, nowadays you could probably have all the parts fit into a briefcase.
But did you have to have like plutonium?
I don't know.
And all that stuff, or Jim, is it plutonium?
Jim, I'm not a scientist.
Damn it, man.
Yeah, I don't know. All right.
Somebody tweet me and tell me. Actually, no, don't do that.
Yeah, you're going to have the NSA on you.
Yeah, probably they already are, but anyway.
Well, there you go. Those were our Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right. I got some more regular odd news here for you.
I always love when you say regular odd news.
Yep.
Always cracks me up. But
go
ahead.
Here's a simple one.
Okay.
In Connecticut, a man who was unhappy with his haircut faces criminal charges after police say he became enraged and threatened people at a Connecticut salon. Stanford police say that 47-year-old Alan Becker was angered when he learned that the haircut that he got was going to cost him $50. To be fair, that's pretty expensive.
It is an expensive haircut.
$50,
yeah.
What the hell are you doing?
I mean, I can get my haircut for like $15, so, you know, that is pretty expensive.
But that was when that was when 47-year-old Alan Becker decided to kick a hole in the salon's wall, became hostile towards staff and customers, and threw candle displays at people. So he's now just chucking items.
That's what you get for leaving.
Take that!
That's what you get for leaving candles out. I mean, they naturally invite you to throw them. I think that's a perfectly reasonable response to having a $50 haircut.
Police say that Becker, when he ran out of candles, returned to the salon and demanded that his hair be fixed.
Wait, had it already been cut?
Yeah, but I guess.
So how are they going to fix it? Were they going to glue it back on?
I don't know, I guess. I want a refund.
I want a refund, yeah. It's like, okay. They have to get the little dustbin out with the hair, and they're like, is this the right color? No. They start gluing it on piece by piece.
Is this Mr. Becker?
Yeah, they give him the wrong person's hair.
Authorities later arrested Becker on breach of peace and criminal mischief charges.
Breach of peace.
Yeah.
I love some of the charges. They're just very strangely named. Like WMD hoax and breach of peace.
Yep.
That's so vague. I mean, are we a breach of peace?
Maybe.
If somebody listens to us and they laugh so loud, is that breaching the peace?
Yeah, because we're causing disturbances.
Yeah. See how vague it is? See how troublesome that is?
Because you suck.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah. I mean, really think about
it. Iron Sheik causing a disturbance already.
Yeah.
Because you suck, Hulk Hogan. And you suck Hulk Hogan ass.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, see, he just breached the peace.
You know what? I'll say this story. Let's do this one.
Okay.
This one's an odd story because the action isn't really the weird part. It's really the reaction.
Okay.
Police in Kansas have announced that they've recovered a $10,000 organ-playing animatronic clown 7 years after it was stolen from a defunct amusement park. Wichita police said that Louie the Clown, which is apparently famous in
Louie
Kansas.
Louie the Clown. I like it. I like it.
Was the animatronic organ-playing mascot of Joylin Amusement Park. It went missing 7 years ago and was reported stolen in 2010. Investigators said that the case was kept alive only by social media interest in Louie's plight.
Poor Louie.
Yeah. But a search warrant was issued on the home of Damian Mize, a convicted sex offender and former employee of the park. When they raided his house, that was when they found the $10,000 organ playing animatronic clown. All right, so here's the reaction.
Okay.
Greg Kite, president of the Historic Preservation Alliance of Wichita.
Wow.
Wow, apparently that's needed. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, obviously you need to, what was it, preserve the historical things of Wichita? What was the title again?
Historic Preservation Alliance of Wichita.
Jeez, what a title.
Yeah. Was thrilled at the news that the clown was found. He said, quote, "This is like Lazarus rising from the dead. Folks, we have Louis the Clown recovered."
Oh my God. All this over an animatronic clown?
Yeah.
Why couldn't they just buy another one?
Why are you comparing this to someone being dead, being raised?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's just... Oh my gosh.
It's a miracle!
Yeah, it's like, are you gonna hire Leonardo DiCaprio?
His scale of like what constitutes amazing is way off.
Yeah.
It's a miracle!
And what happens when he makes a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Does he just crap himself out of sheer excitement? I mean, like, he's comparing finding an animatronic clown to one of the biggest miracles in the Bible.
It's a miracle!
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I just thought that was... That's
like
the end.
Raising Lazarus from the dead.
Yeah. That's the end of the story. But, I mean, it's just weird. I never heard a reaction like that for a clown.
Yeah. Not even a real clown. Yeah. Animatronic clown. That's the stuff of nightmares right there.
Yeah, but this guy, man, he's treating it like his... I don't know, like his best friend just came back to town or something.
Yeah. Or he just won the lottery. I mean, like, I don't know. This doesn't rank very high on the list of amazing things, in my opinion.
It's a miracle!
Yep. So. For him, it was a miracle.
Yep.
Maybe he really loved that clown. Like, maybe that's the reason he got into historical preservation.
Somebody's got to do it.
That's why I majored in history, was to preserve animatronic clowns. Little known fact.
Are you going to be the president of the Historic Preservation Alliance, the Bambler?
Yep, definitely. I got to preserve that asbestos plant. Actually, I'm really upset that they turned it into an office building.
That's not a joke.
It's not a joke.
Bambler has an asbestos plant.
It does. They have a little fenced off lake that's like, warning, biohazard behind this fence. And the fence has like gaping holes in it. And there's like houses next to it. So, you know, Ambler. There you go.
Ta-da!
But they did turn the asbestos plant into an office building. And it's very disappointing.
You need to preserve it.
I do. I need to bring the asbestos back and spread it inside the office building. There. Back to how it should be. And then I'll be arrested
You're just like sprinkling asbestos. Da-da-da. Yeah, you got like a little fairy outfit. Woo!
Yeah. I wear my gray suit and I have that briefcase. And I'm like...
Yeah.
I'm a rainbow man. I'm an asbestos man.
Right, yeah.
And then I'll get arrested.
I answer to no one.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the president of the Historic Preservation Alliance of Ambler.
Yes. Ha-ha. There's a lot of history in Ambler, Rich, okay? We're very historical.
Like Lazarus rising from the dead.
More. It's like two Lazaruses rising from the dead. That's impressive. Oh, Jesus, you raised Lazarus from the dead. And his... lesser-known twin brother, Bob!
It's a miracle!
Yeah.
They never mention Bob in the Bible.
Not Bob.
Yeah, Lazarus. It's all about Lazarus. Oh, the younger sibling. God.
Always gets the attention.
Yeah. Jerk.
All right, ready for our last story?
Yeah.
A 21-year-old Orion Township man in Oakland, California, was handling a plastic bottle bomb... when it blew up, severely injuring his left hand. Yep, that happens.
I love how you're just casually like, oh, he was handling a bottle bomb when it exploded.
Yep. The man and another 21-year-old from the township said that they made the compressed air bomb with a 2-liter bottle for entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they don't have anything better to do in Oakland.
Yep. When he was at the hospital and the doctors asked why he held the bomb as it exploded, he said, quote, "I didn't think it was going to be that explosive." Yes.
Maybe he's just stupid.
Obviously. You are a moron.
Well, I mean, I can understand. Like, maybe he didn't think it would explode that much. You know, maybe he thought they were building a small bomb.
Bomb Jr.
Bomb Jr. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, little kiddies, get your Bomb Juniors out.
Oh, wait, are these baby bombs or bombs for babies?
They're bombs that little kids can make. Oh, little baby bombs.
So instead of, like...
ages 5 to 7.
This is like a Play-Doh kit, like make your own bombs?
Yeah. But it also actually comes with compressed air.
So instead of like, you know those little science kits you buy as a kid?
Yeah, this is
a bomb making kit.
This is the Baby Bomb Junior bomb making kit.
Baby's first bomb?
Baby's first bomb?
Oh, you do scrapbooking. Sweet. And here's his left pinky from when it exploded in his hand.
Yeah, oh, baby's first bomb.
Here's a piece of shrapnel, and here's the collar of the neighbor's dog that got shredded off in the blast.
I was never prouder to be his father.
Yeah. Go get him, champ.
Deputies had to use a shotgun to detonate the other 3 additional bottle bombs that they made in the backyard.
Wait, why a shotgun? That seems like so unprofessional. To detonate the bombs.
It's Oakland.
Yeah, I know. In Florida, they bring in the bomb squad, but in Oakland, let's just shoot it.
Yeah, why not? Well, you know what?
No safety precaution. Just give it a good old kick.
I don't think it's going to be that explosive.
It'll sort itself out.
Yeah.
So what? They just go to this guy's backyard and start firing shotguns everywhere? I don't know. To me, that seems really unsafe.
The other man said that, quote, "We did not expect the device to be as explosive as it ended up being." So,
why were they making a bomb in the first place?
Why do you not think it's going to be that explosive? What is the acceptable level of explosive that you thought was going to happen?
Yeah, just a little explosive.
Yeah.
I do want to know what level regardless, though, of the level of explosiveness, why hold it in your hand?
Yeah.
Exploding things, regardless of the level of explosions, they hurt.
Chuck it. Grenade.
Yeah.
Not hold it. You don't hold it.
The proper way to blow up stuff. Throw it like a grenade.
I thought that was a good one to end on. Such a silly excuse.
Yeah, I guess you could say we're going out with a bang.
Oh.
That's the loudest rim shot ever.
Well, you didn't think it was going to be that explosive.
Oh, yeah, well.
You know?
Yeah.
So there you go. That is what I have in this week's non-fortune cookie odd news. And with that, it's time to get to our recap portion of the show. Let's wrap up everything that we've learned in our little segment. What have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned on this show?
I learned that apparently there's an acceptable level of explosiveness to hold in your hand. I did not realize that until this point.
According to that guy in Oakland.
Yeah. Yeah, I see. I thought holding any explosives in your hand was a bad idea. But apparently I was wrong.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's not that explosive.
It's not that explosive. It's okay. It's okay. Here, hold this for me. It's not that explosive. I also learned that I'm going to be the president of the Historical Preservation Association for Ambler. And my first order of business is to sprinkle asbestos everywhere.
You're going to be the asbestos fairy.
Yes, the asbestos bear, yeah. You leave your tooth under the pillow and leave your asbestos. What an awful trade. Oh my god. That's horrific. But it's okay because if you die, you can be brought back to life, which is almost as good as finding Louis the Clown.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Thank God we got Louis the Clown back.
I know. I don't know what we would do without Louis the Clown.
I don't know what they would do.
Yeah, they would be lost. So, yeah. Apparently, Louis is as big as Lazarus. Just keep that in mind.
Yep.
We also learned that Florida, who was it, Rick Scott?
Yeah.
Came to Philly, and his sales pitch was, come to Florida because we have drunk Bulgarians, naked women touching themselves, and the most amazing rainbow criminal ever.
Woo!
Yeah.
It's fun down in Florida.
Obviously, yeah. You can get lost and almost get killed by drunk Bulgarians, and then you can stop at an intersection and watch a woman touch herself.
Woo!
And then you can go to a bar and have a guy in a gray suit leave a briefcase that may or may not have a baby and or a bomb in it. So
it's a hoot.
It's a blast, yeah. So make sure to pack up your business and move there, guys, according to Rick Scott, who I learned is a douche for trying to steal our Wawas. Hey, Florida, get out of here. Don't be taking our Wawas, jerk. You already gave them dumpster people. They don't need anything else from us. We also learned that Indiana, instead of having 4 to 6 inches of snow, has four to six inches.
6 to 8 inches.
6 to 8. Oh.
Yeah.
Close the schools down. There's too much poop in the roads. We can't get the plows out. Could you imagine a plow pushing poop along? Oh man, yeah. So six
poop plow.
Poop plow, yeah. Yep. They gotta salt the poop.
Yep.
It's like, oh, that's horrific. It's horrific. Rich, what did you learn though in this special 100th episode?
I learned that I have so much fun doing this podcast. It's that simple.
I have learned the same thing. I've learned that we have 100 episodes, awesome episodes, in the bank, and it's only going to get better from here, right?
Yeah. So there you go. That's what we've learned on this 100th episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Hey, speaking of the Oscars.
Oh, yeah.
That's J.K. Simmons.
There you go.
All right, yeah, didn't realize that. Put two and two together right there. Our closing bit is J.K. Simmons.
Wow. Yeah, I did not realize that either.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Woo!
There you go. What a show.
What an amazing show. An awesome 100th episode.
We want to thank all of you guys for supporting us. You know, this started 2 years ago, just kind of on a whim. I called up Mike. I was just like, hey,
want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
And I was like, sure, why not? What's a podcast?
And, you know, it's been a hell of a ride.
Yeah.
100 episodes.
You guys have been with us through it all.
Yep.
Yeah.
And thank you, for helping us, whether it's a like or a follow or a comment or even a download, it helps. Yeah. It goes a long way.
It does. It does.
Thank you guys. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Of course, if you're interested in more, you want to check out our brand spanking new website, go to thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle. Make sure you get that ad in.
Yeah, don't forget that at.
Yeah.
You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you do not need an at symbol. Just go to the page and subscribe. You'll find a whole bunch of best bits videos, interviews, and other fun little things that we put up there. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your phone, your tablet, or your computer. You can take us with you on the go. You can listen to us at home, at work, anytime, anywhere, any place. just download, subscribe to the Crisp Noodle Podcast on iTunes. And I forgot a word in there because I'm very tired.
It's all right. We know what we had to for this episode. The 100th episode. Got to make sure that this one was put together right.
Yeah.
Also, check out our mini noodles. Yes. I just realized that we got we actually have an actual like web page now devoted to the mini noodles.
Yes, we do. So, all thanks to your amazing web design.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No, really, it is awesome. Go check it out, guys.
You know, it was a little bit of work, but it's a nice fresh coat of paint.
Yeah, and you can listen to all the mini noodles straight through now.
Yep. So check it out there. If you want to follow us on Twitter, I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
And I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
That'll do it for us. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week. This is the Crisp Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Later.
See you guys.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
The Noodle Podcast, 2015, Kablamo! Oh, get over here! Pa-pow!
Something!